Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I fucking love cats.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song.
Everything's a song.
Just take a look around you. You just can't go wrong.
You just can't go wrong.
The possibilities may astound you.
Hi, I'm Luke.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And this is...
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Yay!
Episode number...
25!
Just suddenly hit me. I'll say an episode number here.
Wow. That was amazing.
Yes. I'm tired today. I have a sore throat. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, and now Sarah just got home.
Hi, Sarah.
She says hello. Hi, Sarah. The kitties want attention. All right.
Apparently you got married.
Yeah, but before that we have to do comments,
well,
because
I'm just
comments
saying,
go at the beginning of the show.
I'm just saying, because your wife walked in the door.
Yes, wife.
And I can say that now.
Wife.
Okay.
So, comments. Here, Carrie, read the first comment.
Carrie Dalby says, Josh is the one who named Karen's cat Loki, not Luke, as I'm ironically stated on the podcast. So, there you go. Corrections.
All right.
There's a longin.
This is a long... This may be the single most longest comment ever in the history of...
Read it Chewbacca style.
Read it Chewbacca style.
Yeah.
How so?
Fast.
Hearing Luke's mixtape reminded me of a thing I used to do for years, taping songs off the radio onto a series of tapes that started out as a Colorado radio, but was changed for reasons that I can't remember for radio rules. I made it to 112 or 113 tapes before I stopped, thanks to almost entirely to Napster, prepaid service, and Kazaa. That's not including the multiple best of and theme tapes, such as all live tracks, all songs and movies, etc., as well as tapes from then Frosty, Jamie, and Frank show for when they were in Denver. To this day, even though I gave away all of the best ofs and the theme tapes to my cousin Becky when I first moved into this apartment in 2007, I still remember the first song I taped for the first tape, Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. Unlike Luke, though, I never had a consistent numbering system going back and forth between Roman spelled out numbers and numeric symbols whenever the whim took me. Funnily enough, I discovered Luke while making one of these tapes. It was taping some songs off of the Dr. Demento show back when KBZO still aired it, and I heard this, at the time, brand new song called Use the Force. I've been a fan ever since. I think I might actually be one of the first tapes that I still have, as well as Fanboy and You Might Be a Trekkie. Just to give an idea of how obsessive I got about the whole thing, I at one point had a binder complete with a list of each song and each artist when I had an artist or a song name, that is. DJs didn't always tell you, and all the lyric search websites sucked back then. On college old paper and slipped into the front and back covers of somebody were a piece of construction paper with an album cover stamps for various albums that songs came from all over them. For those who may not remember, my dad used to get these things in the mail where every quarter or so, sort of like Columbia House thing where you could choose the CDs you buy by licking the stamp with a teeny... tiny thumbnail over the cover art and the code, lick it like a regular stamp and put it on the form. My dad would let me have those sheets and stamps, and after he was done, what I did with them was when I started keeping the binder. Another thing I did with radio rules is that I'm totally embarrassed to admit that shortly after I made it to the 100th tape of Full Music, I then made another side series of tapes with you guessed at the top 100 songs of radio rules. It was a sickness, I see that now. I had just about all, forgotten about all that except for the Tears of Fears part until I heard Luke's story on episode 24.
Is there more?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Yay!
And thank you for the big, long comment, Arkel.
I can pretty much understand you, almost.
And kind of a follow-up comment regarding the whole mixtaping thing was, it's like, especially when it came to those hyperspasm tapes, I mean, obviously I was making them for my own, you know, listening and entertainment benefit, but kind of like a side, sort of a side... subtextual purpose of these mixtapes that never came to be because I still have all of them. I always thought it would have been neat, like, if somehow by accident I had made one of these awesome mixtapes and then lost it and then somebody else found it, and so, like, some total stranger was listening to my mixtape, I would want that random total stranger to think that, like, I had made, like, a really cool, awesome collection of things to listen to, and for them to think, like, you know, well, this is such an amazing thing, and... You know, but of course, I never actually lost any of them. But it was kind of like a weird ulterior motive, like me creating a cool mix for some fictional person.
You could have just started, like, distributing them at random places.
I could have if I really wanted to.
You could have even made, a second copy so you still had a copy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, it's not really like that, but I want to make contains caffeine stickers and go subversively put them on all cases of Sunkist in all grocery stores. Yeah. Sunkist has caffeine. Anyways, I'll read the next comment. Mr. Analog says, glad to see you guys mention Garfunkel and Oates. I love them, and you should play them on podcast since your goal is to spotlight women who do funny music. I would suggest Pregnant Women Are Smug or Me, You, and Steve, but I guess we'll have to wait until next time since we all know comments go at the end of the show. Enjoyed the many plugs for Archon recently and can't wait to see Luke again there. Last year's hour-long encore show was epic. Carrie, please come back soon, too. We miss you.
Well, I'll talk more about Archon later, but yes. I very much want to get some Garfunkel and Oates albums and play them on the show, so...
Yeah, I heard whatever songs of theirs they did on the Nerdist podcast now. So I'm not completely unfamiliar with them like I was last time.
And did you dig it?
Yes.
Cool. So, crazy St. Louis fangirl, whose real name is Kate, says, I didn't do too many recorded music tapes as a kid, but I did have one recorded tape that I listened to all the time. My sister and I put a tape recorder next to the TV speaker and recorded the whole audio of The Princess Bride. I listened to that in my car so much that I can still quote a good portion of the movie.
I'm surprised I never did anything like that with movies, as much as I used the recorder.
I believe I did that with Monty Python and the Holy Grail when I first discovered it. It was like, sometime in like late 91, early 92, when I finally got around to seeing the movie. I didn't have any of the Monty Python record albums, so I just basically recorded stuff from Monty Python and the Holy Grail onto one of those, mixtaping tapes that I had way back in the day.
Actually, part of it might have been that I had a VCR like way before most people did. This was mostly just because my mom worked at a video store, at the first video store in St. Paul, so she got, a good deal on a VCR or something.
Did I mention the thing about my sister and the Flintstones last episode?
I don't remember a thing.
Like, the first tape recorder we got, me and Amy were playing around with it, and we recorded audio from, like, a Flintstones TV special that was on, and, later on, Amy wanted to record over it.
Oh, yeah.
And I got mad at her.
Yeah, you didn't mention that.
And, like, I think we were, like, trying to record a letter for somebody else to listen to. And in one of the first things she said is, Luke is all mad because we taped over the Flintstones to record this. And then I was, like, embarrassed because even at that young age, I somehow felt embarrassed to have cared about a Flintstones special that much. even though I was the right age for liking something like that. Yeah. So, anyway, so thank you for comments. If you, too, want to make comments... Oh, wait, we have one more comment. We have an audio comment. So let me switch over to that.
Okay.
Let me make sure, is this in the right setting? There we go.
Play a thing.
Hey, Luke and Carrie. This is Draconis, per show as usual. Hey, Carrie, you said you were trying to find stuff for the Strawberry Shortcake and Jem. Did you know you can get both series, I believe, on Amazon? I know they have the complete Gem, but it's going to cost you a pretty penny on it, but you'll probably find Strawberry Shortcake, the series, there too, as well as some Popples. Later.
Yay. Girls' cartoons are my favorite. I need Rainbow Bright. If I was going to watch one of those old shows... One of those old girl shows, again, it would probably be Rainbow Bright. Actually, the movie specials that they made for Rainbow Bright were fucking amazing. Or at least it seemed that way at the time. I'll have to view it again and see if I still think that. I'll mention Rainbow Bright again later, briefly.
In one of those Rainbow Bright, like, did she have, like, she wore a belt and, like, the belt had powers or something?
She wore a belt, I think she could make rainbows come out of it or something. I don't know. It's been a while. So, you got married.
Yeah. So, this episode, I have to say, is definitely much more planned than the last episode was. I'm still kind of a little bit in the kind of a phantom zone where I'm not fully back into my groove because I'm decompressing from the past 2.5 weeks. Because it wasn't only the wedding, it was, you know, preparing for the wedding, the wedding eve, activities, the wedding itself, the ceremony, the reception, and then the day after party, and then we went to New Orleans for, 4 days, and then, got back, and then we immediately went to Archon, and, yesterday, just basically the past 2 days, I've just kind of been, slowly trying to acclimate myself to,
regular life.
To regular life again. So I was able to get somewhat more prepared for this episode than the previous one. I still didn't actually write any funny haha jokes for News of the Stupid, but we at least managed to gather some stories to read through, and we'll see what jokes we can come up with off the top of our heads.
And by we mean Luke.
Yes.
So get a little closer to the mic, dude.
Okay. So Sarah is somewhere in the house. she may be wandering in and out and correcting me as we go when it comes to things. But we're gonna, the majority of this episode is gonna be dedicated to us recapping the whole experience of the past couple of weeks with me. So I'm gonna be doing most of the talking. Carrie will be picking the dirt out of her rings with a toothpick and a paper towel, because, she can do that.
Yes, I can.
So, Sarah's parents arrived at the house earlier in the week before the wedding started. Barb and Gerald are their names, and they are really super nice people.
And they look like Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Yes. It was funny when I went with Gerald over to Men's Warehouse to, pick up our tuxes and stuff, and it wasn't until he was getting dressed and putting his tux on that it dawned on me that, Sarah was really into Dr. Demento, and her nickname was Dementia back in, whatever it was, high school or college, so that's kind of her hacker handle, is Dementia. And then she meets me, who's a big guy on the Dr. D show and stuff, and then it dawned on me, I'm looking at her dad put on this tuxedo, I'm like, all he needs is a top hat and a bow tie and a cummerbund.
Yeah.
And he could cosplay as Dr. Demento.
Yes, he could.
We're also easily distracted by, he looks like Santa Claus. And I didn't really stop to think that he's wearing pretty much the right kind of glasses. He's got the right kind of face and,
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, his beard is much longer than Dr. D's is, but still,
I didn't really meet them. I did in the receiving line. It was very brief.
They're really cool people. You'd dig them. Hopefully there'll be more, get-togethers and visits and this and that in the future. So,
speak up a little more.
So, Friday came and we had a wedding rehearsal, which, I don't know, I guess growing up having been a person who was in plays and stuff like that and various types of professional or trying to be professional entertainment, it's like, I guess my mental definition of what a rehearsal is different from everybody else's.
Why?
Because, it was kind of more like a quick blocking run through, and then that was it. And I'm like, wait, so we're not actually going to do these things, or at least...
Oh, yeah, that's what we did.
Or at least,
it still counts as a form of rehearsing.
Yeah, I mean, but it should be like, at least stand... Okay, here's where you stand, here's where your microphone and mic stand are, blah, blah, check, does this work, okay... but none of that was there. And I'm like, we dragged, Rob Balder and Chris Mazzalesta out to this thing. And I'm just like, I felt like apologizing to them later. It's like, I'm sorry, guys. I thought this rehearsal involved actual rehearsing. And now you're just hanging around this church, essentially doing nothing except being told, oh, at some point we're going to tell you to come here and do a thing. That's it. They could have stayed home or stayed at the hotel or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, we got, rehearsal happened. We went to have rehearsal, the post-rehearsal dinner at Buona Beef, which was, Buona Beef is kind of a regional chain of Italian beef sandwich restaurants, and they got lots of other stuff. So it's technically fast food, but it's a bit more high-end, and they got a lot of really neat, interesting things you can get there. So, we had that. And then after that, we had this kind of, informal, sort of bachelor party, it's not,
you know, bachelor party for lack of any better name to call it, you know, wedding eve party or whatever. Just essentially, yeah. whoever got in town, you know, on Friday night, you know, was all welcome to head over to Dave and Buster's and, yeah. you know, meet there about 10 o'clock and we'll all just hang out and play video yeah. games and stuff.
Meanwhile, the dementia crew was hanging out at IHOP. Our original plan was to eat at Dave and Buster's, but they were so busy that they said it was going to be a 45 to 60 minute wait, so we ate at IHOP.
Ah.
And then we went to Dave and Buster's for gaming of the video kind. But I didn't game. I just said hi, and then I left, and I said I was too tired to stay. But that, I was pretty tired, but that wasn't the real reason I left. But you found out later why I left.
I did?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I didn't actually connect those two things, but the surprise okay. for you during the reception was why I left.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. All right. So yeah, so JT and Mike came over. Pretty much everyone else in my family, you know, and Sarah's family were just like, oh, we're going to go get sleep and blah, blah, blah. And of course, Sarah did as well. And so we went over to Dave and Buster's. We got there about 10. They were only open till 1, so it was like a 3-hour stint. And my mom gave JT and Michael some money to, you know, buy us some, you know, some credit on a swipey card thing so that we could just, you know, run around and play all the games we wanted. And at one point, I'm not sure who started it, but it turned in. There was this like epic air hockey, you know, tournament of doom amongst all of the people there, and you know, Rob Balder was talking some smack, so it was like Rob versus Moonbeam, and then me versus Rob, and then yeah. you know, and the majority of that was caught on Bill Putt's handy dandy recorder. So at some point on a episode of Pod of Destiny,
if
you'll
he
get
finds
to
his recorder.
Oh, he lost it?
Last I heard, he had lost it.
Oh, no. That would suck, because yeah. it was really funny. We recorded a bunch of, you know, kind of sports ESPN play-by-play of the air hockey action.
Well, who knows? Maybe he got that file saved before he lost it. But I really wanted to be there. I wanted to have fun and game, but I felt it was more important to get home and get the surprise ready.
Well, that was very nice of you, and we'll go into that later when the
yes.
thing actually comes.
Yes, we will.
So, after that, I went home, and I don't think I told anybody about this, other than, I think, Sarah. Kind of flashing back a handful of years ago, it's so far in the past that I don't remember what car I was driving, probably my Neon. I remember once I was driving home, probably from an Ed DeBevick's caricature day, like heading back to Madison, and I decided to pull off 92... you know, either find a bathroom or find a fast food restaurant or something to that effect. And I pulled off on Arlington Heights Road, and there's like a Guitar Center right there. And I pulled off, went to turn right, and then suddenly there was like a police blockade. And like they were checking every car. And I guess the excuse is like, oh, they're checking for drunk drivers at this little roadblock.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it was more like, you know, we're under quota for writing tickets, so we're going to stop every car and examine them, and anything we can find wrong, we're going to give you a ticket for.
Yeah.
And they gave me a ticket for my rear license plate has, you know, had like a thing, like a light bulb above the rear license plate so that people could, you know,
yeah.
have, it has illumination so people can see it. That light bulb was like burnt out, so they gave me a ticket for that.
Yeah.
And
we just got our license plate light bulbs replaced on Sunday. Because they were burnt out.
So, you know, having dealt with that before, you know, so basically I'm driving, it's 1 in the morning, you know, past 1 in the morning, driving home, I decide, well, I'm not going to take Gulf Road, I'll just take 90, it's faster, get over to Arlington Heights. And I exit off Arlington Heights, you know, coming from the other direction, I turn left to, you know, go up and I see it's that roadblock. I haven't seen it at that point, you know, in years,
yeah.
but there it is again, and I'm like, I'm driving Sarah's car, and if you all remember from, you know, that from 6 months ago, that episode when I was going to jail, having to deal with, you know, not getting any tickets,
yeah.
you know, I'm like, they're gonna find some reason to give me a ticket. I know they will, even though I know Sarah's car is running fine, and I'm not breaking the law, I'm not drunk or anything, they'll find something, and so I did this kind of awkward, like, left turn into what I thought was an on-ramp to just get back on the highway. It turned out it was just an entrance to a parking lot for a business that was closed. So then I did like a quick little U-turn in that parking lot so I could exit and then turn right, you know, and I guess the cops didn't notice me, and I just got back on the highway and had to do like this weird, like, probably at least 8 mile jaunt, like up 90 all the way to 294, up back over to the exit onto Dempster. It's like, you know, like give myself an extra 15 or 20 minute drive back to get to my stupid house.
Yeah.
Just because I want to avoid, you know, cops giving me a ticket, or even worse, deciding, oh, well, we're going to throw you in jail for some bullshit reason. And you know,
and you're off that probation or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, yeah. As of I can't remember exactly when the date was, but I just basically
like
said to
October
myself,
1st-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, once October got here, that I knew I was safe again. So yeah. If all goes according to what was supposed to have happened back then, I never got any tickets or violations of any kind in the past 6 months. So that was supposed to disappear off my record, along with the other thing that was supposed to disappear off my record after doing the traffic school thing. So right now, my Illinois traffic record should be like squeaky clean. Anyway,
we've got to get to the wedding ceremony, so this...
Yeah, sorry.
We don't want to exceed 2 hours if we can help it.
Yeah. So, anyway, got home, finally, went to sleep, woke up, and this was almost kind of the weirdest thing, was everything was pretty much so good to go by that point that I woke up Saturday morning here at the house by myself. Sarah was back at the hotel. And, you know, since she's the bride, she has to get up early and go do her hair and go blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
And I woke up, and it's like, I have nothing to do. And the ceremony isn't until 3 p.m. I don't have to be at the church till 2 p.m., which means I didn't have to leave the house until, you know, 1:30, but let's make it 1.
Yeah.
You know, and I woke up, it was, I can't remember exactly what time it was, but it was like early enough in the morning, it's like, I have hours and hours of time and nothing to do. You know, so I can't, I listened to the Dr. Demento show that got posted that day. And I, you know, answered emails. I played around on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and people are messaging back, "The hell are you doing on Facebook? Aren't you getting married today? I have nothing to do right now." So, you know, eventually I left. I went and grabbed myself
problem to have.
Yes. So I grabbed myself some KFC on the way to the church, which led to some, you know, a pretty awesome photo of me in my tux with a double down, with a little package of popcorn chicken and a soda. So I'm just like, you know, sipping. But I got to the church. I was the first one to the church. So it's like, all you fuckers who give me shit for being late, it's like, screw you all. I was the first one at the church.
Speak.
You know.
Speak. Speak.
Okay. So, you know, eventually my family, everyone else shows up. The bride has her own, like, little special room way off in the back. And, of course, you know, Sarah and I, you know, not that we're doing too many things that are uber traditional, we decided to do that whole we're not going to really see or talk to each other kind of thing, you know, the day of the wedding until I see her come down the aisle. So I had my own little room that was like a makeshift choir practice room that we turned into the little, you know, groom's quarters. I had to, like, tape up a piece of cloth from a table over the window so that if I decided to change, people couldn't see me.
Yeah.
So then, you know, JT and Mike and Sarah's dad come in. It's like, all right, this is our changing room. I kept hanging around outside in my regular clothes because I'm waiting for the sound guy to show up.
It was funny when I showed up at, you know, half hour till, and you were standing there in shorts and a t-shirt.
Shorts and my I Partied with Party Rob t-shirt.
Oh, is that what it was? I didn't catch that.
I figured, well, I did party with Party Rob the night before. You know, so, but I was waiting for the sound guy because, like I said, the rehearsal that involved no actual rehearsal, we didn't sound check, there were no mic stands. I'm like, I need to make sure that, you know, stuff is working and set up right. And the guy didn't show up until like 20 minutes to the ceremony starting, which, you know,
was disconcerting.
Yeah, that was very disconcerting. And I basically got to the point where I'd given up and I turned to Michael. I'm like, all right. And I began to explain to Michael, my brother. My brothers JT and Michael were both my best man, and I started trying to explain all this audio stuff to Michael, and as soon as I got into, like, halfway through the first sentence, then the sound guy appeared. It's like, oh, here, okay. So then I go back to my guy's dressing room. Suddenly my little guy's, you know, supposedly, you know, this is where the groom is going to change. It's like Grand Central Station in there. My entire family's in there, Sarah's entire family's in there, the photographers are in there, and I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to change. So,
oh my God.
So eventually we had to kind of, like, you know, it's like 10 minutes to when the ceremony is supposed to start. And it's like, can you people get out of the room so I can put on my tux now? So, you know, I put on the tux, you know, things are fine. I get up to the front and, you know, we finally go to like get in our positions and my mom comes out because she's walking down the aisle with me. And we look in and we see that, you know, once again, you know, another failure of the non-rehearsal rehearsal. We see Tom Smith and Rob Balder sitting on what, for lack of a better term, the stage area, you know, the altar, you know, it's like they're sitting basically on the stage, you know, and it's like that wasn't part of the rehearsal. And I realized that, you know, Tom has a tough time getting around, but, you know, it's like we kind of didn't want Tom Smith and Rob Balder to be in the background of every wedding photo that we're going to have, you know, looking at for the rest of our lives. So my mom kind of noticed that and she's like, are they supposed to be there? I'm like, we didn't plan on them being there. So my mom kind of went in and they said like, oh, well, here, you can sit over here at the front row on the bride's side.
By the way, you know, while you were doing all this, I was brushing people's hair. of the guests, of course.
That's what you need to do. You need to fill me in on, meanwhile, while you were doing this, here's what else was going on. Because that's the stuff I don't know about. Well, yes, please do.
So, I ended up brushing five different guys' hair, and I probably would have kept going if I didn't want to, like, I'm like, okay, there's only so many cooties I want to give to my hairbrush. But I know that I brushed, of course, Josh's hair. I brushed, I think, Bill Putz, Breakman Z, Tom Smith, and one other person. Don't remember now who. Oh, I think it was Byron. Yeah, those were the five people whose hair I brushed. And I was the one who was like, okay, they said we were starting on time, so come on, guys, let's go sit down. Because everybody was standing around and back. There wasn't a lot going on of interest that I would say other than that before the ceremony.
So the ceremony began, and we walked into a version of Pachelbel Bell by the London Symphony Orchestra, if I'm remembering correctly,
which all of the dementia fans loved.
Well, you know, and that was Sarah's choice. You know, she was going back and forth between the wedding march and Pachelbel Bell. She had at one point jokingly said it was going to be the Imperial March from Star Wars.
Yes.
But, you know, she opted to go with, you know, more class. It's like, all right, if we're going to go with Pachelbel, let's find a really good version of Pachelbel. So we found one that we liked. for those of you who don't know, there is a comedian by the name of Rob Paravonian who did a very funny piece about the song Pachelbel and basically how annoying it is for if you're the cello player in a orchestra because you basically play the same four notes like 54 times in a row.
Yeah.
And that's the entire piece. So,
which we would totally play if we weren't already having a full show of other songs relating to the wedding.
So go to I think his website is robprocks.com, but Rob Paravonian is his name, and the piece is called Pachelbel. So go check that out. Especially if you're, you know, into the orchestra.
Yes.
As certain British people are. But we won't mention them.
We won't mention them?
Not till later.
Okay.
Okay. Because now it's become tradition. We have to mention them.
No, we don't.
Okay, we don't. All right.
But this time we do.
We will. Anyway, ceremony began. We had Reverend Hillary there at the church, and you know she's quite awesome. It is a Universalist Unitarian church. They are very open to everybody. In fact, you remember on Futurama, there's this one priest, and like he had vestments that had like symbols from every religion on the world on his vestments.
Yeah.
And she kind of has the same thing going on her thing. And,
yes, she does.
Yeah. But that's all cool, you know, and they also, not that this had anything to do with our service or whatever, but they're very supportive of, you know, the gay community and, you know, letting them be a part of things.
I stole your chair.
Do you have, what's on, what's going on?
I'm making dinner.
You're making dinner? Okay. Do you need anything from us at the moment, or?
Just thought I'd say hello.
Okay, Sarah's saying hello. Hey, it's the bride, everybody.
Hey.
I love you. we had some readings to start off with, one by Pete Wenglowski, who is my mother's boyfriend, who's my kind of common law stepfather. He's been really important in my mom's life and in my life for the past, you know, decade or so. I've known him my whole life. He was a church CCD teacher for me when I was a kid. So
common law stepfather, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So so he did a reading, and the reading Pete did is actually an untitled piece, and I forgot the name of the guy who wrote it anyway, but when we read it, it was something Hillary sent us, and to us it really felt like something, the kind of thing Pete would say, so he just seemed good for it.
Yeah.
Then Sarah's mother, Barb, read a reading that was very nice. I should have mentioned, well, I guess it's kind of obvious, Sarah walked down the aisle with her mom and her dad, which was very nice. I walked down the aisle with my mom.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, Sarah had a maid of honor and a matron of honor. The maid of honor was Kim, and her matron of honor was Lisa. And Lisa's husband, Robert, was one of the couple of photographers we had running around taking tons of pictures. So,
and I'll mention Robert again later.
Okay. So, then basically at that point, Hillary did a special kind of blessing of everybody there, and then we had Rob Balder and Tom Smith get up, and they were kind enough to be willing to perform their song Rich Fantasy Lives as part of the service. And as a part of Hillary's blessing before they did the song, Hillary said some words that basically helped explain to the, you know, non-fanish of the people there in attendance, you know, why this song is important to us, and, you know, why, you know, because if you take some of the lyrics of this song very literally, it's like, why would you do this at a wedding? It's inappropriate,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. But she basically put the song in a context everyone could understand and, you know, everything. And then just because it's the way, you know, things would go at a wedding reception, when they finished the song, nobody applauded. And I kind of felt like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, up there,
well,
I'm like...
it was just kind of a... There was an attitude of... I don't want to say somber, but...
It was reverence.
Quiet, yeah.
It was
quiet
reverence
in the room for the whole ceremony. So I don't think anyone was comfortable being the first person to disturb that with a clap.
Yeah. And, you know, I probably should have, but I didn't. So... but I made up for it later on at the reception when I said, hey, everyone, let's give a big round of applause for Rob and Tom. We did the great song, and everyone applauded for them. So they got the applause they deserved. But then immediately upon them finishing the song, Chris Mezzalesta got up, and he read a piece called A Lovely Love Story by Edward Monckton.
And that made Josh cry.
Aw.
I didn't cry during the ceremony because I'm a cold-hearted bitch. Josh was crying, like, during the whole thing.
there were a lot of people who were crying, which was sweet.
I actually cried during the reception at one point, but I'll tell you that when we get to it.
All right. Well, I thought this would be a good time for a break so that... because here's another surprise. After everything was over with the ceremony, we found out the guy I was complaining about earlier actually had thrown a CDR in and recorded the audio from the entire ceremony. So
yeah.
we instantly had an audio CD of our ceremony. So I'm going to play an excerpt from the ceremony of Rich Fantasy Lives and A Lovely Love Story. So why don't we do that right now?
Okay.
Okay, here it is.
At Pete's took so long to seat you, left you to stand in the doorway with her streaky red hair and her thousand yard stare. In her mind, she's the princess of Norway. As she takes down your orders, she's crossing the fjord. Her white stallion spits foam like a madman. Many Vikings have died trying to take her as bride, but her heart is reserved for a bad man. Rich fantasy lives, somehow she survives in a world she contrives. Inhibited husbands and frustrated wives lead rich fantasy lives.
Guy from IT, resurrects your PC with a boredom he barely suppresses. Though he rarely converses, he has more universes in his head than you've got addresses. He war games through weekends, leads armies and legions. He doesn't care how well you putted. He's browsing reality's infinite palette. He's seen yours and yours doesn't cut it. Rich fantasy lives, he quietly thrives in a world he contrives. Techno drone insects in cubicle hives lead rich fantasy lives. We're piling up fears, but we're out of frontiers. Some need to escape, but there's nowhere. Can't go to the moon, at least anytime soon. But an inner space trip costs you no fare. So don't be unkind to a wandering mind. Just say it again if we missed it. Some whispering poem was calling us home to a place we know never existed. Rich fantasy lives, our peace bonded knives and our hyperspace drives. Until that steam engine to Hogwarts arrives, we'll have rich fantasy lives. Rich fantasy lives, our quests and our tribes and our Babylon vibes. Until something better than this world arrives, we'll lead rich fantasy lives. Rich fantasy lives.
A Lovely Love Story by Edward Monckton. The fierce dinosaur was trapped inside his cage of ice. Although it was cold, he was happy in there. It was, after all, his cage. Then, along came the lovely other dinosaur. The lovely other dinosaur melted the dinosaur's cage with kind words and loving thoughts. I like this dinosaur, thought the lovely other dinosaur. Although he is fierce, he is also tender, and he is funny. He is also quite clever, though I will not tell him this for now. I like this lovely other dinosaur, thought the dinosaur. She is beautiful, and she is different, and she smells so nice. She is also a free spirit, which is a quality I much admire in a dinosaur. But he can be so distant and so peculiar at times, thought the lovely other dinosaur. He is also overly fond of things. Are all dinosaurs so overly fond of things? But her mind skips from here to there so quickly, thought the dinosaur. She is also uncommonly keen on shopping. Are all lovely other dinosaurs so uncommonly keen on shopping? I will forgive his peculiarity and his concern for things, thought the lovely other dinosaur, for they are part of what makes him a richly charactered individual. I will forgive her skipping mind and her fondness for shopping, thought the dinosaur, for she fills our life with beautiful thoughts and wonderful surprises. Besides, I am not unkeen on shopping either. Now, the dinosaur and the lovely other dinosaur are old. Look at them. Together, they stand on the hill, telling each other stories and feeling the warmth of the sun on their backs. And that, my friends, is how it is with love. Let us all be dinosaurs and lovely other dinosaurs together. For the sun is warm, and the world is a beautiful place.
All right, I'm going to try to speed things along here because it's become obvious that I'm taking way too much time explaining everything.
And I'm eating dinner back here.
Yes. So, the Reverend Hillary did a hop. Whoops, I bumped the mic. Reverend Hillary did a homily, and it was a very lovely homily. And the kind of funny thing was throughout the whole process of working on what the wedding ceremony was going to be. You know, it became clear that, you know, I was not going to be allowed to make any jokes or, you know, inject too much direct humor into it other than, various, you know, kind of more subtle things. So it was kind of, you know, I found it ironic the whole time when I'm standing up there for the ceremony, that, like, she has all these kind of great zingers in her homily and in the other things that she did. And even, you know, some nice improvs when Baby Ferris was there and she made, I can't remember exactly what happened because I haven't listened to the thing. But it was something about, you know, she just finished a sentence and the Baby Ferris in the background went like, ah! And then she said something like, you know, like,
she was saying something about early life, and then Ferris cried and she said very early.
Yeah, and that got a good laugh. So I'm just sitting there going,
I don't know if they heard that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. So it was like, she's got all these great zingers, and I'm just sitting here going like, man, I'm not allowed to do anything. But she had one particularly funny moment, and if you listen all the way to the very end of the show, I will play that funny moment. As the stinger at the end of the episode, so you can hear that one, because that was kind of a particularly funny bit that happened. there's certain things that go without saying, but I'll at least say them anyway so that you don't think I'm completely, you know, self-absorbed here. Yes, Sarah looked very beautiful. She had her hair done up. She had a, you know, wonderful, beautiful white dress. She looked great. It was awesome. I think I looked actually halfway decent for once in a suit, which is very rare for me. I'm uncomfortable in fancy clothes anyway, but this particular go-around of me having to wear a suit, I think I looked all right. I know JT and Mike looked good, and Sarah's dad looked good, and her maid of honor and matron of honor looked good in their dresses as well. So everyone looked good, you know, but, you know, Sarah was particularly, you know, all dolled up and super awesome and cute and everything. She was beautiful. So anyway, so then we, finished up, and, you know, we did a kind of this kind of hand holding, thing for the, you know, exchanging of vows and stuff like that. And then we did the rings and then we were pronounced, I can't remember the exact wording of it, but basically we were pronounced husband and wife, even though Sarah is not changing her name. So it's like, and now here is Mr. and Mrs. Luke Sienkowski and Sarah Trice. It's like, that's what we were before, but now we're married. You know, applaud. Yay! And we walked out, and the song we walked out to that, you know, we didn't really call much attention to it at the time, but the song we walked out to after our kiss was the song Find Your Grail, as sung by Sarah Ramirez and Tim Curry from the musical Monty Python Spamalot. And it was like, you know, we started walking down the aisle, and then, you know, it got to the point where the lyrics started, and I think that was when all of, you know, our friends in the funny music, you know, fandom community, like, her, you know, picked up on what song was being played.
I knew what it was right away.
Well, yeah, I knew. You would know, but immediately. But, like, you know,
and I knew why too.
Yeah. So,
I explained it to Tara.
Yeah.
You know, why you chose that song? It's the best, in my words, the best that I could.
Yeah, but basically it was kind of like they all picked up on, like, oh, this is from Spamalot, and then I heard, like, an audible group laugh come from the groom side of... That's another weird thing. It's just like that whole bride side and groom side thing is that very little of our actual family showed up for this thing, you know. So it was kind of like, you know, people didn't quite know what to do. So I think it was like a weird lopsided larger amount of people on my side when it was more mutual friends anyway. So
well,
it just didn't make any sense for us.
We yeah. didn't even know which side you guys were going to be on.
So
we just picked a side and sat down, and then all the dementia people started sitting together.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just loved the audible group laugh, you know, after we started walking out the aisle, people kind of figured out, oh, it's from Spamalot, and they all laughed at the same time, you know. So, you know, that was really cool. And then we did the receiving line, you know, and some of our friends were really emotional. And then we had to kind of recreate us, fictitiously create the scene where she and I are leaving the church to hop in the car and drive off. And Pete, my mom's boyfriend, has this awesome old Rambler that's like powder pink. And, you know, it's like a super awesome looking classic car. So my family did it up with like all the Just Married signage and stuff like that. So we had this kind of fake, for the purpose of getting good photos, us running out of the church and getting into the car and taking off, and Pete just like drove around in a circle, and then we got back out so we could take some more pictures and stuff. And
then while you guys were in the church taking pictures, Matt Doohand and your mom, Momsky, started rearranging the magnetic letters that said Just Married on the car and changed it around so that it said Just a Murder, since Sarah frequently threatens to set Luke on fire.
Yes, and that was very funny.
And like, then people all wanted to wait and see what your reaction was going to be, and like, I was like, we should like leave now. So, and then I guess somebody fixed it before you even got out, so you didn't get to see it.
Well, yeah, but people showed me pictures of it, so.
Could have been funnier if you got to see it.
So we went through, you know, we had to do a bunch of pictures inside the church there with our various families, and overall, for the whole day, there was only, like, two things. Like, nothing went wrong. Nothing was, like, a big meltdown-y kind of, like, oh, my God, things are horrible. Like, you know, everything went the way it was supposed to. There was only a couple of things that, you know, in a very, you know, minor way could have been like, God, well, that was a bit annoying. But, you know, one was a person who was helping with the wedding that is not part of my family or our group of friends or something, just kind of a person who was, for lack of a better term, hired help. I kind of felt wasn't, you know, was not really on the ball. And, you know, but I'll just kind of leave it at that, just because I don't want to make it seem like I'm talking crap about, you know, whoever. But, like, there was one person who could have been a little more on the ball. And then the other thing happened later. The only thing that that didn't get done that I wanted to get done was a video. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, so, you know, me and Sarah climbed in the car with Pete and began to drive from Palatine to Addison, and traffic kind of got backed up between, you know, Schaumburg Mall and the exit on Lake Street, so that we, you know, the drive took longer than, you know, she and I were, you know, hoping it would. You know, we're stuck in this car, we're in our, you know, all nice outfits, so people are, like, honking at us and waving at us and stuff, and we're waving back and everything, so.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do when you see a Just Married car. You're supposed to.
Yes.
Now you know.
So that was cool. We pretty much completely missed the whole cocktail hour thing. So, you know, what was, did anything interesting happen in during those times?
That was when everybody was getting settled. We went into the one room to find our seating assignment, which was the different movies that, do they all appear in My Favorite Part?
Not all of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So all of the different movies, themes for each table had a specific movie. And so you went to the list and you saw the movie poster and then a list of names, and that's how you figured out where to sit. So, you know, and then there was the mailbox for the cards, and the set has Luke and Sarah painted on it, and their handprints. And there was appetizers, which was really good, because that was where there was lots of veggies. Actually went in there during dinner also to get more veggies, because they didn't bring out the green beans till late during dinner. That's just when we were all hanging out and at Baycon, as it got dubbed by Breakman Z at some point in the weekend, since Luke, as most of you know, loves bacon.
And I wrote a song about bacon.
So the weekend got called Baycon. And, you know, during this time we discovered that our popcorn was edible. I hadn't really noticed that the popcorn was there. Had I would have assumed that it was edible. Other people were like, they didn't use fake popcorn? And I'm like, I think fake popcorn would cost more.
Well, here's the thing. The whole point of, okay, the centerpieces were all shaped like little popcorn boxes, and each side, there were three sides to them because four sides would have been too big. So two of the three sides had a printout of the movie poster, and the third side had a piece of artwork that I had created, an illustration of myself and Sarah incorporated into the movie in some way. So, and there were eight centerpieces for the eight tables. I actually had made 10 because we thought that there were going to be more people at the wedding and more tables. So the part of the fun of it was I wanted to make it so the tops, we could put popcorn in, so people could have like a little snack to eat while they're waiting for the food to come. The kind of downside of it was that we had to leave it for the people. You know, the hotel staff had to set all that stuff up and had to know where to put each thing. So we had to give them these numbers. So instead of just giving them, like, instead of using, like, a post-it note, like, 1, 2, 3, Sarah decided to make something that makes her, you know, using her, you know, her little Cricut machine to cut out things that were, like, prettier looking numbers.
It was a number for the table itself.
Yeah. So basically, they weren't supposed to be on there. It kind of, in my opinion, ruined the whole fun of the game of, oh, I need to see what movie I am and then get my place card and then go find my table. It's like putting the numbers there kind of took the whole freaking element of making it a guessing game out of it, because the tables were all numbered 1 through 8, and the thing on the board was, you know, 1 through 8, so all they had to do was count.
It would have been hard to figure out the table, though.
So basically, the people who set up the tables put those numbers on top of the edible popcorn, so people didn't try to eat the popcorn because the numbers were sitting on it, so they just figured it was all decoration.
Oh, we ate the popcorn.
Okay.
I myself consumed quite a few popcorn calories that night.
So if you go to my live journal and go back to, I guess that would be September 26th, the day after the wedding.
LukeSki.livejournal.com.
Yes, and you can see the artwork sides of each of those 10 images I come up with, tying into various TV shows and movies that Sarah and I both like a lot, which ties into the song My Favorite Part, which is the song I wrote for Sarah back in, man, I can't remember exactly when that was. I think that was about September of 08 or so is when I wrote that song, based on something she used to say to me all the time was, "You're my favorite part." So I wrote a song in which I compare her to my favorite parts of TV shows and movies. And as I said before, the video thing, that was I had gotten everything else I needed to get done for the wedding done first, so that the last couple of days was like, okay, I want to work on making a, you know, I it's not really a fan vid because I was making it, but I can't think of another term for it. So a fan vid of my favorite part using clips from all of the movies we mentioned in my favorite part, and then showing it on this cool big flat screen TV that was going to be right above me and Sarah's head that we could have shown, you know, during the reception to tie in, you know, the whole my favorite part theme of the reception, our cake.
But you weren't able to do it. So this is not really a part of the story of the actual wedding. It's the thing that wasn't meant to be, I guess.
So, yeah, and the cake itself was a three-tiered cake that was bright blue, and it had the words, "You're my favorite part," on it. So it would have been, like, the perfect, like, cherry on the sundae of the whole thing to be that would have, you know, helped tie it all together for those people who hadn't heard the song and didn't know that was the significance of all that decoration, you know. So, oh well. I mean, I tried hard to make the video. My tech wouldn't cooperate with me. I tried to get others to help me, and we couldn't upload the videos fast enough for them to get it done fast enough. I appreciate them all trying to make that effort, but it just wasn't meant to be. Maybe the video will exist someday. I sent them, you know, detailed, you know, things of what I wanted each thing to be. So I don't know. It kind of bums me out, but what, you know, whatever, you know, people wouldn't know if I, people won't know it was supposed to be there unless I brought it up. So anyway, so yeah, we got to the point where the, you know, Sarah and I arrived and did our, you know, big entrance walk over to our table, and eventually we got around to doing the, you know, toasts. And that was the one other thing was, this was the first ever wedding that was held at this hotel. It's about a 4-year-old
really?
Hotel. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were kind of an experiment for them too.
Oh wow.
So that, you know, them putting up those pipe and drape curtains to block off the lobby was like their first attempt at doing that. I thought that the pipe and drape curtains they were going to put up were going to be a lot thicker and a lot better looking, and they kind of weren't. But you know, oh well. So, you know, the matron of honor starts doing her toast for Sarah. And, you know, coincidentally, the same weekend, there was some big hockey tournament in the area. So there's these, like, you know, teenage hockey people just, like, fucking hanging out in the lobby.
And being really loud.
And being really...
one of the ladies' toasts.
Yeah, so Lisa's trying to do a toast. And it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, like... Is anybody from, you know, she's standing right in front of me. I'm looking at her, and in my mind, I'm thinking, is anybody from the hotel, you know, behind the desk that I know is like 15 feet away from me through this, you know, fireplace wall? Is anybody who works for this hotel going to tell those people to shut the fuck up or go away or go somewhere else?
And they, you know, didn't. And
they did.
Either your mom or
no, it was
sister.
Amy. Yeah. My sister Amy. It's like as I'm thinking this, suddenly I see Amy like get up, walk around the corner. And Amy told me later that she said, "Hey, shut the fuck up or I will punch you in the face."
Really?
And they were like, "What?" It's like, "It's a wedding going on, right? Just shut up." And then they shut up.
Wow. Nice.
That's my sister.
Oh wow.
She's epic.
I want to be like her.
Well, yeah, and if there's one thing my sister loves, it's me. It's like don't fuck with her baby brother Lukey, you know, or she will tear out your intestines. So so that's my loving sister. So that was the only other thing that happened that day that was like, you know, goddamn, what the fuck? You know, but you know, Amy put a kibosh on it, so
yeah.
So
I was surprised how well and quickly it worked, and now I know why. I should probably get up in there now that I'm done eating in case I want to say something.
Okay. I keep bumping. See, I have a new chair. That's the other new element to the show this week. We actually got out and bought me a decent computer chair with wheels on it. So now as I keep scooting around, the chair keeps bumping the mic stand.
Yeah.
So every so often it's... So I need to figure out a way to...
Plus, we got the goofy thing where every now and then, a split second of the recording drops out, and we don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's because of Adobe Audition or because of Levelator or what.
I think it has to be Adobe Audition because it didn't happen until you started using it. Anyway.
Where was I? Sweet Baby Ray's was awesome. Barbecue dinner. Everyone seemed to be enjoying it. You needed more veggies. Other than that, you know.
Like I said, the green beans came out late for some reason.
Yeah, and they had like there was so much food left over that we actually ended up bringing some back to our house the next day.
But we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So
at some point during the reception, I actually was sitting there eating. Oh, I should mention the bibs real quick. Sarah's mom and dad, as a wedding gift, made us bibs that said Mr. and Mrs. Because they're like, well, you're going to be eating barbecue at your wedding, so we don't want to get, you know, any food on your dress or your tux. So
you continued to wear your bib for, like, the next hour.
Well, you know, I was eating. So,
it's pretty funny.
And there's pictures of it. So at one point I was eating and I was looking at Chris and all of a sudden I saw Carrie get up and go over and talk to Chris Mezzalesta. And there was just something about the quick conversation that's like, all right, something's up. Something is about to happen, you know. And then
Chris wasn't in on it and didn't know about it. It was all Tommy Tooney.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. It was just there was something about the way you went over to Chris and said something that made me think, like, something's about to happen. And then you walked... And then immediately after that, you walked over to Tommy Tooney, and I'm like, oh, okay, here it comes. So...
Yeah.
And, you know, I had kind of suspected that at least one of my Fump friends would do something. And
I was the most obvious choice.
Yes, yes.
Because at my wedding on May 30th, 2009, Luke got together an audio track of various dementia artists across the country that weren't at the wedding saying stuff to me and Josh, congratulating us and being funny and silly. And he topped it off with Mishki, which I thought was going to be the last one. And then after that, Dr. Demento. So I'm...
I think, you know, that actually impressed some people at your wedding reception. I heard like an audible like, ooh,
oh,
you
yes.
know.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. So I had to do the same. I felt that I should do the same thing for Luke and Sarah. So I did. I got a Google Voice number going just for that purpose, so that it would give people less excuses to get out of doing it. And, you know, there's a lot of people I wish would have submitted things that did not, but the 13 people or groups that submitted things were the awesome sauce, and I thought it was a funny, good thing, and it was exactly 8 minutes.
So, so I figured that, you know, we'd play them right now so you all could all hear them. So
yes.
There's one in the middle that's done from the Google Voice that has kind of a glitch in it and you can't really hear who it's from. It's from MC Lars.
It's not so much a glitch, it's just that he says his name so quick that you can't hardly tell.
Okay, so here are those awesome greetings right now.
Sarah and Luke, this is no fluke. You were meant to be for eternity. I know this well, yeah, I can tell when love is real and a great big deal. So sing a song, you can't go wrong, and dance a while in any old style. Go on, you two, your love is true, can't be undone by anyone. Why, it's like the sun, it's like the moon, it's as though the angels played a tune, soft and sweet above the sky, so heartfelt it would make you cry. That song is playing loud today, so turn it up and let it play. With love, Mishki.
Hey, Luke. Hey, Sarah. This is Mark Gunn. I just wanted to wish you a very wonderful wedding and a great life together. Many blessings to you both, and I look forward to seeing you on the road. Sláinte.
Hey, Luke and Sarah. This is Emmy, DJ Particle, recording from the Surround Sound Home studio here. You know, I've been racking my brain just about for a week to find something to say, and then the Mad Music Archive went down and kind of screwed my train of thought. I didn't want to leave without saying anything, so happy nuptials to one of the hardest working men in dementia that I know, and dementia's webtastic bartender. Many happy years to the both of you.
Luke and Sarah, this is Jeff from Raymond and Scum calling, wishing congratulations. Matt, guitarist of Raymond and Scum, could not be here, but he actually provided me, I said we should have some like sweet lyrics to congratulate them, and you know, we can't come up with anything. We haven't had a fump since January, but he provided me some lyrics that he thought would be appropriate to congratulate you. So it's the first time I've seen it. I've got it right here. It's something by Two Live Crew. That could be. Well, I'll just read it. Ho, I love your big brown eyes and the way you shake your thighs, acting like you're so damn cute. Let a real... I'm not saying that part. Knock them boots. I don't need no confrontation. All I want is... what was he thinking? All I want is something that rhymes with confrontation, because I like them ghetto hoochies, one too light pop. Oh no. Okay, well, I'm just gonna stop. But congratulations, you guys. I'm sorry about Matt. He's an awful person. But you guys are wonderful, so congratulations.
Happy wedding day from Carla Ulbrich, president of the Difficult Last Name Club. Sarah, welcome to the Difficult Last Name Club. And if you'd like to join the elite level, you can always hyphenate. Happy wedding day.
Hi there, Luke and Sarah. This is your pal, Ian. Some of you may know me as Insane Ian. That's fine, whatever you want to call me. Just want to say congratulations to the both of you. And I have to say, I admire the tact that you have for not trying to sell a bunch of stuff to get to pay for your wedding. I know a couple people who had to do that, and they never were thought of as the same way again. It's kind of tacky, and I'm really glad you guys didn't have to stoop to that level, is what I'm saying. So, congratulations, many happy returns to you guys, and many more happy years to you.
Honey, where are the wedding EPs? Maybe we can send them one. Think it's a good idea?
Hey, Luke and Sarah, Devo Spice here. Well, not here. If I was here, I'd be there, but I'm not there. I'm here, and you know what? Never mind. I just wanted to say congratulations, and I'm really sorry I couldn't be there. Or here. Or whatever.
Hi, this is Danger Woman. On behalf of the Danger Force Pets and my fellow crime fighters, especially the fact that I'm pals with Feedback, and I want to say congratulations to you, Luke Steve, and your bride, Sarah, on your recent nuptials. I want to say unfortunately I couldn't be with you today, but I always wanted to be part of a wedding. And since I'm sending you this, I'm hoping you'll come to my wedding at DragonCon as part of the halftime festivities of the masquerade 1 year. And if you get a chance, give me a call. My number's 404-918-6425. Again, my congratulations on y'all getting married. Bye.
What's up, Lucas, Sarah, it's MC Lars. I wanted to congratulate you. I hope you have hilarious, amazing, beautiful children, and that you keep everyone smiling and being joyful. I'm so proud of you guys. I hope to see you soon. Bye.
This is Dr. Milo T. Pinkerton III, and we of the Consortium of Genius, a group known also as the COG, would like to offer our sincere condolences on this most heartfelt and heavy occasion.
Excuse me, Dr. Pinkerton.
What?
Why condolences? What has he gone and done?
Wait, this isn't Lukeski's funeral?
It's a terrible matrimony with misery, buffoon.
Oh, but what's the difference? Congratulations from the Consortium of Genius!
Cog!
Folks, this is Television's Kyle. For the sake of argument, we are here to celebrate the annual affixation of the best Luke Shinola and Sarah four times. Yeah, they're stuck together good. Next year, we'll do the same thing once the glue wears off. You know how it goes. Any snoo, these kids have had it rough for a long time, and they think this is somehow gonna make it better. Whatever, I mean, God bless them. I mean, who am I to judge? I'm purely theoretical. They're good kids. They're good kids. Luke likes to sing and draw the pictures, and Sarah likes to tolerate that. What? No. I've just been informed that this is a tribute and not a roast. So, with that in mind, I shall take my leave. Contrabulations, Luke and Sarah.
Luke and Sarah, Dr. Demento here. Congratulations on your wedding. Live long and prosper and stay demented.
Hi, I'm Dan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Rich.
And we're Flat 29. And we just wanted to say happy wedding to Luke Ski and Sarah Trice. Have you guys got any messages to the happy couple or the guests at the party?
Hi, guests. How you doing? You all right?
What's up, guests?
Everybody's a guest. Say ho.
When I say wed, you say ding. Wed. Wed.
This is going to go down an absolute storm.
On a more serious note, I'd like to congratulate Luke and Sarah on their big day.
So from all of us here at Flat 29, have a bloody good wedding. Bye!
Bye.
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
So we must point out that for Dan and the boys from Flat 29, if you're listening, That during the part when you're like, when I say wed, you say ding, wed, everybody went ding, and yes. Everybody went ding. So
and also the everyone go hey-o,
yes.
Everyone in the guests go hey-o. They did that too.
People followed your instructions to the letter.
Because these are our friends, and our friends rock yes. a lot.
And also earlier when it was the Consortium of Genius and they said the cog, everybody went, cog! You know, as they're supposed to. So thank you to all you people who contributed. That was so cool. It meant a lot to me that was part of our special day. So thank you from me and from Sarah. Yes. And thank you to Carrie for putting it all together.
Hey.
And there's another coincidental tie-in that I'll mention later on in the show.
By the way, I finally started sending the emails 2 weeks in advance. How far in advance did you start sending it for mine?
I don't remember. Probably at least that much.
Okay.
I'd assume.
I was just curious.
It's been so long, I can't remember how long the span was. But.
Okay.
By the way, when we all get together, thanks to the monster that Chris has created, then we just start saying,
okay,
and tile,
and job.
and for me, since... You know, it hasn't worn off. I just have been continuing to say that a lot.
So where does that leave us? The dance. We cut the cake, we ate cake, and then the dance started. Oh, cake balls.
Cake balls!
Talk about the cake balls, Carrie.
Sarah made cake balls as a, like, a wedding favor for each chair. Each chair had a... moist, delicious ball of red velvet cake, and then one side, one would be dipped in milk chocolate, and the other one would be dipped in white chocolate, and then, like, the chocolate had kind of hardened, so it was almost like a piece of candy, but with the most delicious cake of all time ever on the inside of the candy.
Like, super chewy.
Yes. And super delicious. And, so that was a...
So people were like fighting over
yeah,
the...
Over the extra ones and yeah. stuff. Or you know, if anyone actually didn't want theirs, which I can't imagine.
I ate one of mine and then I went to eat the other one. Like, I was going to save it for later, and by the time I got to back to my table, it was gone. So somebody must have...
I couldn't even let the groom have his cake ball?
Never!
Oh my God. Well, you probably got some when she was making them the previous couple days,
though. Yeah, yeah. and then we got the dance going with, you know, DJ Tommy Tooney. Many people know him from PenguinCon, and he was a really great DJ. We also had...
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, big peace out to him. And we had some of Sarah's belly dancing friends show up, and they did an impromptu belly dance performance, which... Sarah decided to join them for, and it was completely improv. They didn't rehearse
really?
That at all. Yeah. That
Sarah didn't know that was happening?
Well, no, she knew that was happening. She just didn't know that she was going to be dancing and what dances they were going to do. So she just kind of was winging it out there with them, doing the belly dance
moves. It
looked
like they had rehearsed it.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing. And they, one of them was wearing this candle thing on her head, which was kind of scary because we had these, like, paper... lantern things hanging from the ceiling. So I'm like, that's why I walked in. I was carrying a fire extinguisher. I'm like, okay, I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah.
So, you know, the dance was really cool. And eventually we got to the point where it was time for the official first dance. And, much to probably everyone's surprise, Sarah and I actually went out and, you know, had a waltzing lesson. And, we had been rehearsing, for at least a couple of nights, our wedding dance, which was a song called Married Life. Not the one by Insane Ian. Sorry, Ian. You know, we like your song, but this version of Married Life is actually the main theme song from the movie Up, in particular at the beginning when they're going through the whole thing of the marriage and life of Carl and Ellie. So it's... And I had made a special edit of it to take out the slow, undanceable, sad part in the middle
yeah.
of the song so that it was a shorter song and, you know, it made more sense. So another
it was a very nice artistic performance.
Yes, and as Carrie mentioned earlier, and we talked about the whole My Favorite Part thing, the one of the tables was designated for the movie Up, and that was the table Sarah and I were sitting at, and our...
The head table.
And our letterbox was a mailbox painted up to look like Carl and Ellie's mailbox with the words Luke and Sarah on it. We also had a little plush doll of Doug, the dog, and also tied several balloons to it, one of which had the words The Spirit of Adventure written on it, much like Carl's balloon from when he was a little kid. So when it came time for us to do our dance, I went over and retrieved the Spirit of Adventure balloon and asked Tommy to hold on to it, and then we did our dance with various moments of me doing, you know, twirling and actual, you know, waltzing dance moves. And then when it got to the slower part of the song at the end, I grabbed the Spirit of Adventure balloon so that she and I could hold it as we got to the end part of the song. And I thought it went really well. I know there yeah. were at least some parts where I kind of tripped up in my stepping because I was like, we had rehearsed, but we never rehearsed in the actual clothes we were going to be wearing right. at the time, which kind of, you know, was a different factor to deal with. So it took me, you know, a good 20 or 30 seconds to finally get into the rhythm of the song and feel like, okay, I'm not screwing this up.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, when she and I stopped, you know, people were kind of applauding for us, and I just came to my head, I'm like, okay, on the count of three, let's say squirrel. One, two, three, and then we both looked over to the side, squirrel!
I thought that was rehearsed part of it.
No, I honestly hadn't thought of it until just then. I'm like, oh man, this is a good thing to do.
That
so
was
a
hilarious.
Nice little you know capper on that. So I don't know how much of our video, how much of our wedding, if any, is going to end up on the internet as far as like video goes. But I certainly wouldn't mind posting that up, mainly so that the folks at Pixar can see it.
And then don't forget to mention the. Sarah danced with her dad after that.
Yes. Sarah danced with her dad and, I forgot the name of the song they did.
Me too.
I know it's not Sarah's Smile. That was a different song that was played that night.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm totally failing at groom.
Unforgettable.
Yes, that's what it was. It was some version of Unforgettable, not the original and not the,
Yeah. And at this point, Josh is, you know, teary-eyed again.
How many times did Josh cry during the day?
Uncountable. It's hilarious because before Josh met me, he thought he was like this tough, like, cold-hearted guy, you know, and he's really a gigantic marshmallow. But I did cry once at the reception, and that was the part where you and your mom danced to Rainbow Connection as sung by Kermit the Frog of the Muppets.
Yes, that
and
was...
That's when I actually cried.
Aww. Because, you know, I wasn't sure... At one point, I had come up with the notion of maybe my mom and I should dance to the Rainbow Connection, and I know at some point she had, like, mentioned it, and I can't remember... if we ever had, like, a further discussion on it or whatever, but I just kind of wrote that down as, like, Rainbow Connection. That'll be the song she and I dance to. And then,
yeah.
And then like, when it came time to dance, my mom's like, so what are we dancing to? And then the song started, and then she almost started crying, you know, right
yes,
then. So, because
yes.
Jim Henson, you know, means a lot to me as, well, people who listen to this podcast know that. You know, but also, you know, he means a lot to my mom, and, she... It was like, you know, a big thing with her and I, you know, with me growing
yeah.
up and our whole family. So
and she was nice enough to encourage the guests to start singing along.
So that was really sweet. And of course, you know, Tommy Tooney, you know, ripping it up, you know, DJing on the Wheels of Steel, playing lots of awesome songs, including Wreckin' by the Book.
Yeah, which blew me away. I wouldn't play Wreckin' by the Book at my wedding if it had been out by then.
Well, you know, it's a cake song. And it's a good danceable song that people like.
And it does have a part about on my wedding day. But still, I was just kind of like, what the...
Well, Tommy asked us to list a few songs that we absolutely had to have played, and then a list of songs that, well, if you can work it in, good, you know, if not, no big deal.
And
so,
it was on that second list.
Yeah, it was on the second list. And he actually played a lot of the songs of mine that were on that list, but, you know, he played a good mix of stuff. And,
yeah. And then during this, everybody was going over to the side to have professional photos done and then printed at the wedding by Rob. I don't remember his last name.
I'm spacing on it myself. I know.
But, so there's a lot
Not
of
Not cool, Rob Balder, a different Rob.
There's a lot of cool photos that I'm really hoping we'll get digital copies of in
did
the
you,
future.
Did you saw the scrapbook they made, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, basically Rob is the husband of Lisa, who is the matron of honor, and they basically stayed up until 2:30 in the morning that night, you know, printing up some of the photos from the whole day and making, like, instant scrapbook of our wedding day,
yeah.
You know, so we had, you know.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I showed up on Sunday and I'm like, there's a scrapbook already?
So that was very cool of them, but yeah.
But I was going to say something else about Rob.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it didn't happen until technically after the reception, but I got to have an interesting conversation with him because he's also an insulin pump user, and he uses the same brand of pump that I use, and he used to use the CGM with it as well, and I never met anyone else who uses the insulin pump, so it was a really good chance for me to have a powwow about that. And
that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
I think, like, Ken noticed it, and then he pointed it out to Josh, and then he and Josh started talking, and then I came around the corner, and then I got to talk to him about it. He's type 1, so he said something about... He said something about his pancreas stopped working when Castro came to power or something like that. And he says it's harder for type 2s to use that, you know. But anyways, I just wanted to mention that because it was really interesting for me.
Cool. Yeah, but basically...
Are we going to get digital copies of those photos?
Cause I would assume so.
I sure hope so.
Basically, all the photos that were taken were either done for free or for such a discount that we really don't want to bother the photographers. It's like, when they get them to us, they'll get them to us. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, you know, I think that was kind of part of the point.
I literally wanted to put the picture of me and Josh on a Christmas card because it looked that
nice. Well, I'm sure we're going to get them before too long. So okay. once we get them, I'll pass it along to you. But the little name cards that people normally have to, you know, show, you know, like, oh, this is my place, I'm sitting at the table, blah, blah, blah. We went to IKEA and got like 100 or more 4x6 sized photo frames so that we could put each person's name card inside a 4x6 photo frame for them so when they arrived they could take that to their table. And the point of that was so that they could, you know, later on in the evening, go get their photo taken with Rob, and then he'd print them up, and then you could put them in the frame, and then you'd have an instant little memory of the day you could take home with you. You know, so that was another kind of nifty thing that you know, Sarah had come up with for us to do that day. So I eventually got on the mic and told everybody that was the point, and they're like, oh, okay, and then they all got photos taken, and you know, things were cool. We got a nice group photo of dementia radio type people, which was nice.
Sarah wasn't in it for some reason.
Well, I don't know. I guess at that specific moment, I thought it was supposed to be dementia radio DJs at that moment, and you know, past or present DJs. And since Sarah was never a DJ, I never thought to go grab her. But
no, it
you
wasn't
know,
just DJs. Josh was there. And,
oh, okay.
And Phil and Phil's girlfriend. What was I about to say? Oh. Side note for me is, you know, for me, a lot of the wedding weekend was hovering over Moonbeam and oohing and awing and googling and goggling over baby Ferris, who was just about the most adorable baby I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I got to hold Ferris at one point. He was a cutie.
Yeah.
And so did Sarah.
Yeah, a little two-week-old baby. All he does is sleep and poop and coo and... You know, and wake Moonbeam up in the middle of the night for food. So
yes. So yeah. And then at one point during the night, because I didn't get to make the video for my favorite part, I felt it was important that I should at least sing it or something.
Yeah.
Or no, wait, I was just going to have him play it so that Sarah and I could dance to it, and then Tommy Tooney must have been left over from one of our PenguinCon performances, discovered he had the instrumental in his in his computer already. Awesome. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll sing it.
Yeah.
So I sang it, and that was nice, and then, you know, we continued down dancing into the night, and...
And you did, the Dada Slide, which
is pretty
funny for all the many people there that had not heard it.
Yeah, because
family.
Yeah, because I just knew that it was going
Sarah's
to be.
Friends.
Yeah, it was going to be demanded by the dementia community that I lead everybody in the Dada Slide. So, but yeah, it was great. Sarah's mom got out there and was doing the Dada Slide. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And you know,
the Dada Slide is good fun.
And of course,
downloaded at thebump.com.
Yes, and there was. You know, Taylor was there. She got to be Columbia during the time warp, so that's Sarah's niece. I'm an uncle now.
Yes.
That was great. Like, the first thing she said to me in the receiving line was, "We're related!" And she gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
So now I'm officially Uncle Luke Ski.
I'm jealous. My husband is an only child just like I am, so there'll never, ever, ever be any nieces or nephews ever.
Aw. So, and then, so unless you can think of anything else that happened at the reception,
You sang "Just a Gigolo" for some inexplicable reason.
Well, no, I was about to sing my favorite part, and then we found out, well, Sarah isn't in the room, and we weren't sure where she was. She went to the bathroom or something, so it's like...
She was holding Baby Ferris.
Oh, okay. So it was just kind of like, well, crap, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm like, quick, play something else. So he, like, grabbed "Just a Gigolo," which was another one of my, you know, if you get around to it songs. And
yeah.
And then, like, well, and then I'm like, well, I'm holding the microphone anyway. So I just started singing it along with it. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, last, you know, songs of the night were slow songs. And the very last song that was played was "Ma Belle Evangeline" from the movie The Princess and the Frog, which takes place in New Orleans. And I'll play that track a little bit later. Basically, the night wound up, you know, Tommy started packing up his stuff. You know, several people, like, either went to bed or took off, and it kind of, you know, got later on in the evening. A bunch of us were just kind of hanging around, talking until, like, way, way late into the night. You know, and, yeah, nothing super eventful happened at that point, but... Eventually, Sarah and I, you know, went to sleep.
Well, there was the whole goofy thing about couldn't find the car keys or the house.
Yeah, there was some kind of weird hullabaloo.
Sarah couldn't find her clothes, like her real clothes, and she was wearing your shorts and Party Rob's shirt from earlier in the day.
Yeah, it's like she shows up and she's wearing literally the exact same clothes I was wearing earlier the day. She's like, I can't find my clothes. They're missing. And eventually the keys and the clothes turned up, so it was just... At that late in the day, my brain was so fried, and I was just, like, so fed up. I'm like, God, just don't even... I'm the groom. Don't deal... I don't know.
Oh, and I painted my fingernails orange and green because those are, like, Luke and Sarah's colors.
Yes.
So.
That was very cute. So yeah, we went to bed, you know, got up the next morning, went down to breakfast. A lot of people were hanging out there for breakfast, and then we all came over to... our house, and basically we had kind of had this like elongated, you know, party with rotating people there so that we could like open gifts. It kind of like started as the gift opening party and segued into a dead dog party.
Yeah, Ken
much
said
like at
there
cons.
Was a total of 27 people there.
So the beginning part of the day, it was mainly my relatives and Sarah's relatives.
Me and Josh were the last ones to show up.
Yeah. And we opened up all our gifts. We got some, you know, wonderful gifts and cards from everybody. And once it got to be later in the evening, we came to realize that everyone that was in the house...
Yeah, because Sarah, Kim, and Kiki all decided to go clothes shopping. And as the only other woman there, they invited me to go with. But I don't actually like clothes shopping. I was like, if you're doing anything other than clothes shopping, I would go with you. So then all of a sudden I looked around. I was the one who noticed.
Yeah.
I looked around the room. There's only 7 people in the room, and 5 of those 7 people are dementia artists.
Yeah, from thefump.com.
Me, Luke, Rob Balder, Chris Mezzalesta, and Shoebox of Worm Quartet. And the other people there were Ken and Josh. So, as we were about to start a game of apples to apples, I was like, hey, let's write a song. I was like, 5/7 of us are dementia artists, so let's write a song. And they were pretty much, to varying degrees, immediately up for it. And Ken and Josh, you know, quickly started entertaining themselves with some other card games. So,
and if for those of you who may not be as familiar, Rob Balder and Shoebox of Worm Quartet decided about a year or two ago as an experiment to get together and see if they could record a whole comedy music album over a weekend from scratch.
Having the, you know, a plan in place.
Yeah, just no plan, just Rob shows up at Shoebox's house and over a span of 3 days, they go from having zero material to enough material to release as an album.
Which is what they did.
And they decided to call themselves Bald Box. So basically, we knew that we had like a 2 hour span of time or so.
Before Shoebox had to leave.
Yeah, but yeah.
For
so,
the airport.
So we decided to do this in a very Bald Box style, so the song we managed to whip up in that 2 hours will most likely be released at the Fump at some point as Bald Box featuring, you know, Luke, Carey, and Chris or something to that effect. So
yeah,
that, you
I'm
know.
I'm hoping we premiere it at Con on the Cob, which is in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And all five of us will be there.
So, yeah, it's it definitely lives up to the Bald Box standard of quality.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if it does. It's that crappy. It might be a little under the Bald Box standard of quality. But I was pretty sure it was a pretty big stinking pile of poo, but I let my husband listen to it, and he was laughing his ass off during the whole thing, so.
Sarah, I let Sarah hear it, too, and she thought it was funny as well, so.
So
it's very earwormy. It's
yes.
It's the kind of thing where it's like,
yes,
God,
it
this song sucks, and then later that day you'll be singing the chorus to yourself, and you'll be
yes.
like, God damn it.
No, I literally listened to the rough mix once before I went to work, and then it was in my head for 3 hours. And I had only listened to it once.
Cool. Well, I guess that kind of, you know, wraps it up. You know, after that, we all went out to dinner and stuff and ate food, and then people left, and then the next day, me and Sarah went on our honeymoon. So, on that note, why don't we play another song here, and just for the sake of fitting in with us mainly talking about the wedding here in this episode, I'm going to play my favorite part, just because, and then we'll talk about the honeymoon. And there'll be news of the stupid later. So, here is my favorite part by me, Luke Ski.
When Peter Venkman said about the phantasm, he's an ugly little spud, and a few moments later, he got covered in ectoplasm. He's slimy, he said, with annoyance and dread, on the floor rolling round in the goo. The way I feel about that scene within the rest of the film is the same way I feel about you. See, life's like a movie, or a comic book issue, or some TV you always record. Some parts are painful, and others depressing, and some parts, they just leave you bored. But some parts are so good, that if only you could, you fast forward right there from the start. And in the picture show, that is my life, you're my favorite part. You're my favorite part. I'll fight for your love like the three amigos when with El Guapo they did scuffle. You make my soul dance just like the time chunk in the Goonies did the truffle shuffle. My life was so blue, I felt terminated too. There was nothing left for me to give.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I was down on the floor when you reached out your hand and said, come with me if you want to live. Like Spaceballs, I need you at a ludicrous speed, even though that's not really smart.
Hey, Schwartz, be with you.
In the story arc, that is my life. favorite part.
You shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny. My father hung me on a hook once.
I'd follow you with a passion, just like Billy Madison chased an imaginary penguin.
Oh, did you?
I'm feeling so good inside. If I had the remote, I'd skip back and watch it again. 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 You set my life's tempo, like when on Wayne's World Garth Algar rocks out on his tom-toms. And on Sesame Street, if I was Cookie Monster, I'd eat you up all like om-nom-nom-nom-nom-nom. You pulled me out of a trench when some daughter who's French had my life catapulted a cow.
Your mother was a hamster.
But like John Astin said, guest starring on Night Court, but I'm feeling much better now. You're my own rosebud sled. Please be my Bill and Ted. I'll be your Napoleon Bonaparte.
Excellent!
In the film franchise that is my life, you're my favorite part. When I'm holding your hand, I'm in my own wonderland. You're my Alice and I'm your Mad Hatter.
Don't let me
do if people
it.
Tell us our faults, I'll quote the movie Meatballs and say it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You're my Wonder Woman, my Elastigirl. I'm your Sideshow Bob and Quagmire.
Alright.
This simple young butthead has seizures like Beavis because you set my heart on fire.
Fire, yeah.
If it would make you mine, just like in Young Frankenstein, put number it's, I would holler.
From Luger.
And when guys over you, I'd quote that RoboCop dude and say,
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, this media fan was once a needier man, till I found a living work of art. In the omnibus, that is my life, you're my favorite part. You're a most tavern prank call from Bart, you're my favorite part.
So the lovely Sarah is making dinner right now, and when Carrie just...
Actually, I think she's done.
Oh, she is?
I think.
When Carrie came back in just now and opened the door, I could just... The smell of yummy pork chops just hit my face, and I'm like, pork chops! Mm. Much like Homer, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I married Sarah, and she's wonderful, and she, you know... She makes me very happy. What did you think of my groom's toast? Do you remember it?
I have a horrible memory.
Well, let me ask you this. Was Josh crying during it? Would that...
I don't remember. I think at that point, I'm like, I was...
Oh, wait, that reminds me.
At that point, I was really just focused on, you know, getting to the special surprise. So that was where my head was at during, like, everything.
Oh, it's over here. I moved it over here, and I forgot about that.
My head was stuck in special surprises going to be happening land.
Ah. So my brothers, James and Michael, had a really interesting co-best man's speech. JT was saying far too many nice things about me. I'm like, this is a setup. I know there's a joke coming here. And
yeah.
Yeah, that was he gave a good one-liner there. And then Michael, to tie it into the whole my favorite part thing, he wanted to make a toast to us that tied in all of the taglines from all of the various TV shows and movies used on all of the centerpieces.
Yeah.
So you can all kind of try to figure out what these are all from, or you can go to my live journal and see all the images and figure it out. So He said, to Luke and Sarah, may your life together be the ultimate Erkin experience in medieval horror, a big family Christmas that predictably turns into a disaster raising silliness to an art form and a time-traveling space adventure where he's the secret and she's the agent on a mission from God in the 31st century New York and the scariest comedy of all time. So that was my brother's toast. And
that rock source.
So, on a more serious note, you know, the toast I gave to Sarah, you know, I'm, you know, I don't know if it would be stupid for me to, like, you know, actually open the file and read it, but, you know, I basically said that she, you know, she's wonderful. She kind of brought a calmness to my life that, you know, I wasn't sure I was ever going to get.
Did not exist before.
Yeah. And, you know, she's just wonderful for so many ways. You know, things used to bother me a lot more, and now things bother me a lot less because I've kind of taken from her example and letting things kind of roll off me a lot more than they used to. And she's generous, she's kind, she's funny, she's sweet, she's just, you know,
talented
and smart and sexy and you know, she's just wonderful, and she really makes me happy, and I'm super, you know, honored that, you know, I'm her husband. And it's like, people, it's like, here's the thing, people come to me, you know, are like, oh, do you feel different now? And it's like,
that's what
no.
they keep saying.
It's like,
they're continuing to say that to me, even though it's been almost a year and a half. They're like, does it feel different now that you're married? I'm like, well, we lived together for almost a year. And like, yeah, but it's different when you're married, you know? Is that what they're saying to you?
Well, basically, because it's kind of like, oh, you know, are you, or like before the wedding, they're like, are you scared? I'm like, scared of what? You know, scared that the caterer might not show up with the food,
right.
You know?
I mean, we weren't scared either. they were saying the same shit to us.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, back when I, you know, Sarah and I were dating and we weren't like committed to each other, boyfriend, girlfriend, and, you know, this and that, and it was like, when I made the decision to commit to her, I'm like, I knew then, it's like, this is going to be, you know, unless something really weird or bizarre goes wrong, or unless I colossally screw this up somehow that I can't even imagine, you know, because I, you know,
that you knew that was it.
It's like, I committed to her then. It's like, you know, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, living in two different cities, then we were, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend living in the same house, and, you know, now we're, you know, man and wife living in the same house. It's like,
I just think people think of weddings all, like, they're all the same. And in other words, like, you know, you're 22 and, you know, you barely know how to, you know, tie your own shoes. And now, I mean, you know, it's kind of different for those of us in our 30s, you know.
You just reminded me of something that happened yesterday. That kind of shows...
I don't mean to imply people that are 22 can't tie their shoes.
Depends on who you're talking about. But, like, we have a recycling bin thing in the kitchen, and I had been drinking sodas, and some leftover, you know, thing from, like, probably someplace I lived 2 or 3 years ago let me, had my brain thinking that, oh, if you get done with a can of soda, just put it in the kitchen. And then, like, I guess magically somebody washes out the can or something, and then it goes in the recycling bin. But Sarah doesn't do that. She just throws them directly into the recycling bin. So she comes home from work, and there's, like, six dozen cans, you know, not six dozen, six cans, half a dozen cans. That's what I was, my brain mixed that up. It's like six or seven cans sitting on the counter, like, you know, here's the counter, and then, like, there's two, a foot below it, the recycling bin. And she, like, just kind of snapped. It's like, you're right there! Just put them in the bin! It's like, what's wrong with you? Why? You made the effort to take them all the way in the kitchen and put them right there. Why didn't you make the slightest bit more of effort and actually put them in the bin? And I just start laughing my ass off because I don't know why I didn't do that.
Not only do you do that, you taught me to do that when I'm here, and that's the process, that I'm supposed to leave them sitting there. And which is what I did, like, both at Josh's birthday party and at the Bacon Dead Dog party.
So, yeah.
So now I feel stupid.
Well, you know, and it's my fault, you know. So it's like Sarah helps me deal with, you know, such basic entry-level stuff that us guys are like,
Not all guys, but, yeah, definitely you.
So, yeah.
And Josh.
So Sarah's awesome. And that's, yeah, that's the, yeah. So, okay. Oh, yeah. Honeymoon. That was the clever segue. So we went to New Orleans for 4 days, and I had never been there before, and Sarah had, and our friends Matt and Tara, as their honeymoon gift, they covered the cost of our hotel rooms at this really swanky hotel called the Roosevelt, which is a Waldorf Astoria type of hotel. Mm-hmm. And several other friends, including Carrie and Josh, gave us big chunks of money so that we had money to spend when we were out there, so that we didn't have to worry about, you know, being all
frugal.
Yeah, frugal, because that's the way we usually are. So we got there the first day. We walked down to we walked through the French Quarter, went down to Jackson Square. We found a a big line of various horse carriages doing various kind of horse-drawn tours through the French Quarter. So we took one of those with a guy named, I think his name was Charlie, and his mule named Gus. And he was really cool. So we did like a little half-hour tour with him. After that, we went and got beignets at Café du Monde. And we ate so much food. Normally, I'm a very kind of, you know, basic level, you know, guy, you know, give, you know, kind of like, you know, oh, I will go to McDonald's and, well, I don't go to McDonald's as much anymore, but like, you know.
Your wife doesn't want you to.
Well, kind of because I usually only go to McDonald's now if it's the only option available to me. Like, for example, when I get done at Key Lime Cove, there's like three fast food restaurants that are open. There's McDonald's, White Castle, and Taco Bell. So with presented with those options, I'll usually go with McDonald's because, you know, at this age, I just don't go to White Castle anymore because I don't know when the next time I'll try to eat a White Castle thing and my internal organs will just say, all right, we quit.
We're way off you know. Track here.
Anyway, the point is that, you know, I'm a very like, oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Chipotle, BW3, you know, just like, you know, Chick-fil-A, you know,
you
places.
Have basic tastes.
Yeah, kind of basic, low-level tastes, and going to New Orleans, you know, where all this awesome, great food is, and it's like, my brain just doesn't know how to, like, comprehend it, but I'm trying to be.
You were there with Sarah.
Yeah. So I was, like, making a concerted effort to try to order, you know, gumbos and jambalayas and po' boys and, you know, eat things that I don't normally eat because, you know, we're here, we have the money, you know, what the hell, I might as well, you know, give this stuff a shot. So, ate a lot of really great food. Trying to remember what else we did that first night. God, because it's like, it's another situation where, like, every day feels like 2 days. So I feel like I'm describing.
Well, you don't have to hit everything in chronological order,
All right, well, so we.
Other things you did include.
Went to the aquarium there. We just sat and watched the penguins for a real long time. That was really cool because I love penguins, and it was like penguin feeding time. Like,
Did you know you can go look check out Antarctica on Google Maps Street View now?
Oh, really?
You can check out all 7 continents, including Antarctica.
Wow.
Anyway.
So yeah, we went to the awesome aquarium there and saw lots of fishies and penguins and otters and stuff like that. We went and saw one of the IMAX type of movies they have there called Hurricane on the Bayou, which, you know, showed a lot of, you know, basically illustrated why, you know, the depletion of the wetlands, you know, makes New Orleans more vulnerable to hurricanes because, you know, the hurricanes have less of a speed bump, you know, now that, you know, the wetlands have been disappearing for the past 100 years.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. We went to Bourbon Street to a karaoke place called The Cat's Meow, and the first night I was there, they did something.
I remember The Cat's Meow from my days going to New Orleans.
So they had like this, they had like a real nifty stage with a bunch of like props and wacky stuff on it, and a couple pianos that were painted up all wild. And the thing that I thought was, you know, annoying to me as a karaoke consumer whore is that they have like this person who's like the host. And, you know, normally when there's a karaoke host out in this part of the country, it's like the host will, you know, do about one song an hour or one song per rotation. This, at this setup, between every karaoke song, a full song is played on, like, their video system. They basically will just show some music video, and the karaoke host will, like, sing along with the music video.
That's
by,
lame.
Like, Black Eyed Peas or whoever the hell else
That's
they play.
Stupid.
So it's like, if you saw the list on the wall has six people, you have to wait 12 songs.
Oh my God.
So I thought that was retarded, but I'm like, I came here, I'm not going to not sing. So I went and signed up and, you know, waited, you know, what seemed like forever for a thing to get around to me. And I got up and I did Just a Gigolo and I freaking pwned the place.
Yeah.
Wearing my Wesley Crusher's t-shirt. You know, and you know, the DJ or the hostess was this woman, what does she call herself? MC Misi or something like that. This you know, this young woman, and you know, she was all, you know, so basically once I really got into it, people started like digging it, and by the end of the song, you know, she's like, "Wow, you were a rock star," and you know, people like everyone's high-fiving me as I got off stage. So
yeah.
You know, so
that's
that was cool.
That's why you do that song.
Yes, that's why, yeah. So then, you know,
that's why my swan song is All That Jazz when I go to karaoke.
Yep. We went to Nola, which is a restaurant owned by Emeril Lagasse, and ate some, like, super incredibly awesome, you know, food there. It was also incredibly expensive, but you could, you know, it was really, really good. And
yeah.
Sarah totally loved it. I had this, you know, roasted garlic bisque that was, like, incredible. Oh. It was super awesome.
Wow.
Just
those three words together, roasted garlic bisque. By the way, not that this has anything to do with your story, but as most of you probably don't know, New Orleans is definitely my second favorite place on earth after Hawaii.
Yeah, but before Hawaii, this was your favorite.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been 7 years since I've been there, but I was really glad that you finally got to see it.
Yeah. So we went on one of the ghost and vampire walking tours of New Orleans, and
hi.
So that was because like there's various ghost tours, and the one we wanted to go on we couldn't go on because the guy basically canceled on us. It was somebody that Tara had recommended, and he had to cancel. So mm-hmm. We found another one, and this guy, he didn't like dress up or have any like anything theatrical about himself. He was just very matter-of-factly presenting this information to us. We're walking around, it's like, yes, this building behind us, there was, you know, a woman, and she was murdered, and then, you know, now her ghost does this and that. So it was like very, but it almost kind of added to the creepiness of it, because it's kind of like Joe Fry is explaining to you, you know, and then we went to that.
I went on one of those last time I was there. He just jogged my memory. I didn't even, it's been so long, I didn't remember that I did one.
So, you know, that was pretty cool, and we went to see that house, what was it, Madame La, I can't even remember her freaking name now. This woman who, like, you know, beat and tortured her slaves and stuff like that. And
them up.
Lane, yeah. So we, and that building, until recently, was owned by Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. So, but there was one story that was told to us that I kind of wanted to do on News of the Stupid, but I couldn't find a news article online so that I could, like, read it from the facts. So I'll just quickly recount it. One of the places near the French Market, apparently, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was. Didn't seem like it was too long ago.
5 years.
Yeah. Apparently there were some wannabe vampire, you know, douchebags mm-hmm. who like were, you know, like, well, we want to drink people's blood, so, but we don't want to get in trouble with the law, so we'll just have our little private secret vampire club and we'll all just, you know, cut each other, you know, on our, you know, wrists or wherever, and we'll all just drink each other's blood so that we can drink blood and not get in trouble with the law and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing this, one of their little sessions in this building that, you know, they weren't supposed to be in or whatever, and one of the guys, you know, that was involved with this, like, you know, wasn't waking up. So they, you know, all freaked out, and they're like, oh my God, you know, he's, you know, we killed him, what should we do? So they, like, wrote, like, a fake suicide note and then dragged him over to the French Market and, like, you know, took a rope and, like, hung him up there as if, like, oh, he committed suicide, he hung himself.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't until later that when the police got there, found the body, blah, 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 the forensics experts figured out that the person was still alive when they hung him.
Oh my God.
So he could have been saved. Yeah, he could have been saved, but instead he was killed by these idiots who were wannabe vampire assholes. So, yeah. Well,
hopefully they're in prison wannabe vampire assholes now.
I have no idea. So, you know, anyway, I thought that was cool. Something I forgot to mention, which I should have mentioned because it was on the first night with the whole chronological yakety schmackety do, is we met up with Lewis and his wife Janine. Lewis, aka Dr. Milo T. Pinkerton III of the COG.
COG.
The Consortium of Genius, an awesome mad scientist rock band from the New Orleans area. So they took us out to dinner, and we had just had some local Mexican food, and then we went back to their place and got to hang out at the COG Secret Lab rehearsal, you know, converted garage, and it's freaking amazing in there. They got, like, so much music equipment, so much video and audio, and, you know, it's amazing all the stuff they have in there. So basically, Sarah and I just hung out while they were rehearsing, so they got a big upcoming gig. And he even asked, like, oh, are there any songs you want to do with us? And I said, well, let's do Brain Rap. And then he had to dig out the original handwritten lyrics to Brain Rap because he didn't have them handy on a printout. So they just did the song. And there's a new member of the COG. the character is Dr. Pinkerton's sister, whose name is Formelda Hyde. and she, you know, who's kind of a mad scientist herself. And she is played by a woman named Ashley. So Ashley was there to try to kind of start learning more of the song so that she could be the backup singer and, you know, do her parts and stuff like that. So so she was pretty awesome. And we just hung out there. And then eventually it got to this point where Lewis was like, oh, we have a new song that we're going to put on our new album. Their new album coming out soon is called Music for Supervillains.
Yeah.
There was a song, kind of a revival type of, you know, old churchy song called, I think it's called What a Friend We Have in Cthulhu.
Yeah.
And so there was a couple of, you know, people needing to be testifying, like, you know, like, yes, Great Cthulhu did this for me, blah, 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 you know, kind of spoken part of the song. So he asked if Sarah and I would be willing to do that. So Sarah and I are going to be in this new COG song. And he asked me to do it with a Wisconsin accent, which was really cool. So, and I got mine on the first take because I'm a fucking ninja. Good.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
You did good, too. Yeah, you rocked it. So
I did my Trailer Park Southern accent.
So that was really cool. And then, okay, I'm going to show Carrie something, and she's not going to tell you what it is. She'll just react and say what she thinks of this.
Are we pausing during this?
No, we're not pausing. Okay. It's like, he showed me a new product coming from the COG, and he doesn't want the world to know about it yet. But he gave me, like, the prototypes. So I will show them to you, and then you can vaguely describe them without saying what they are.
Okay. Toil.
I think you will think they are cool.
Luke is getting a thing. Oh, okay. So I'm describing them without saying what they are.
Tell us your opinion of them.
They are cute. And they are soft. And there needs to be more of these of the other things you have.
So if you were at a COG show and they had those at a dealer table, would you buy items such as this?
Yes.
Cool.
You should sell items such as this.
and they're two-sided. So
I'd ask how they were made, but then that would be giving away what they are.
Well, I'll tell you after the show. So
okay.
So be on the lookout for a new COG album and new COG thumps and new COG products. So yeah. Anyway, let's see. Talked about the COG. Talked about the aquarium. What? trying to think of anything else. Well, we decided to do a second tour with on one of the trolley things because we wanted to go out to one of the cemeteries.
Carriage.
That's it. So we took a second carriage tour on our final day there and got some more new information, because the guy the second time was actually a retired college professor who, like, knew so much fucking information. It was amazing. Yeah, history professor. So, what?
Come this way so you're not behind the mic.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, so we went out to St. Louis Cemetery, which has, like, a voodoo priestess and stuff in that. And then we saw this one...
Marie Laveau.
And we saw this one sarcophagus that was built that's just a big giant pyramid, and we believe that to be the Nicolas Cage sarcophagus that we had heard he had bought for himself, because Nicolas Cage is kind of a weirdo, but he's a cool weirdo.
He's a whack job.
Yes.
And he's in Kick-Ass.
Yes. So I mentioned Nola. What other good foods? Lots of good foods.
The gumbo shop.
Yep.
Coffee pot.
Is this mine?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, the beignets at Café du Monde were freaking incredible. I keep bumping the mic again. But, yeah.
Is it also a Café beignet? Oh, my God.
So yeah. We had beignets at Café du Monde, and then we had beignets at Café Beignet. So, yay for beignets.
Which one's better?
Café du Monde.
This is like the Vienna Hotel Soccer. Does Hotel Soccer have better soccer tort, or does Demel's have better soccer tort, which is the chocolate cake they sell there, but not in a bag like John and Yoko say.
Well, Café du Monde only sells beignets, well, and coffee and chicory and drinks, but that's the only food thing they sell is beignets.
Yeah.
Café Beignet actually sells... like jambalaya.
Ironically.
And gumbo and red beans and rice and all that. And their other food is really, really good. And their beignets are okay.
Oh, not the best. Not the best.
They're not the best, but that's like saying, right. You know.
And for those of you from the American Midwest who are wondering what a beignet tastes like, think of funnel cake for at the county fair. That's the closest.
Only way better.
Yeah. And and then of course we went back to the Cat's Meow again the following night, and I did the Humpty Dance and pwned once again. So, I can't think of any other details of the trip other than us taking occasional like naps back at the hotel and watching whatever happened to be on TV at the time.
The hot tub.
Oh yeah, the hot tub. We went to the hot tub, which was like one of those kind of, you know, on the roof of a hotel kind of pool,
yeah,
with a hot tub, and we were looking at the top of the, you know, church that's next door, and then they were setting up for a fancy schmancy meal, and Sarah wanted to go over there and see what they were doing because they had like all these nifty looking things up there.
You guys should have got professional massages on your trip.
Speaking of massages, it was so ironic because that Sea Monkey Song Ornery Hand Job had just come out, and like every massage place we saw looked like the seediest, we wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole kind of place.
Oh, yep. Yeah,
it was either the hotel spa that was $150 an hour, or it was the Oriental massage spa.
I went to a decent real massage place. Oops, sorry, Mike. Last time I was there, but I couldn't tell you what it was called because that was 7 years ago.
And it might not be that.
Yeah. And everywhere there's all the shirts that say, "Who dat?" As I mentioned on the Fump podcast. So, who dat indeed. And I know that Hex Warrior tweeted about this. He's like, he said that every time I see a who dat shirt, all I can think is, who dat rapping? Who dat rapping at my chamber door? Mr. Raven, all but my girl like nevermore. So New Orleans was a really cool place, and we had a great time, and there was much yummy food, and then we came home.
And the podcast is over 2 hours long, and we didn't even get to News of the Stupid yet.
Oh, God. should we just forget it?
We'll talk about it during this song that we're about to play.
Okay, all right, and to wrap up the romantic-y wedding part and the New Orleans part, here is Ma Belle Evangeline, as sung by the Firefly Raymond from The Princess and the Frog.
Look how she lights up the sky, my belle Evangeline. So far above me, yet I know her heart belongs to only me. Je t'adore, je t'aime, Evangeline. You're my queen of the night, so still, so bright, that someone as beautiful as she could love someone like me. Love always finds a way, it's true, and I love you, Evangeline. Thank you.
Love is beautiful. Love is wonderful. Love is everything. Do you agree? May we? Look how she lights up the sky. I love you, Evangeline.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess the stupid, so proven innocent, cause it makes it so to me to chew and criminate.
Oregon man accused of burning his boss's car. Silverton, Oregon. A Silverton man who learned he was about to be fired has been accused of burning his boss's car. Police said a 33-year-old man poured gasoline on the car early Saturday and set it on fire. Investigators learned the victim is the suspect's supervisor at a Silverton restaurant. The Statesman Journal reported the suspect was taken to the Marion County Jail on charges of arson, criminal mischief, and reckless burning.
As opposed to, you know, responsible burning that happens, you know,
and
often.
And Beavis says,
well, you know, it's like, you really don't want to leave it amateurs, you know? It's like, if you're gonna set something on fire, then, you just gotta, like, go get some stuff and, you know, those matches, and then you just put it all in a big coffee pot, and then you throw it in Anderson's yard, and you go, yeah, fire!
Memphis teen shot in behind over sagging pants. You know, because they couldn't say shot in the ass. Memphis, Tennessee. Police say a 45-year-old Memphis man, angry over two teens sagging pants, shot one in the buttocks during an argument. He faces aggravated assault charges. The boys were walking through a southeast Memphis neighborhood when Kenneth E. Bonds yelled at them to pull up their pants, according to an arrest document. Police Sergeant Ron Perry said the teens refused and the three began arguing in the street. Bonds then brandished a semi-automatic pistol and threatened to shoot the teens. Perry said Bonds fired several shots and hit one of the teens as the pair ran away. The teen's wound wasn't critical. The other wasn't injured in the September 25th shooting, first reported by the Commercial Appeal in Memphis. A court clerk says it's not sure if Bonds had a lawyer. Ain't that a pain in the ass?
Get insert it? Awesome James Bond joke here.
And insert Dennis Leary soundbite of him yelling at people to pull up their pants.
Washington State golf course vandals put away carts. In East Wenatchee, Washington, joyriders stole six golf carts and tore up the Wenatchee Golf and Country Club, but were thoughtful enough to put the carts back in the storage shed. Police said they plugged in the electric carts and locked up the shed Saturday night before leaving. The Wenatchee World reports two of the carts were damaged and there was significant damage to the golf course.
That was my favorite cart. That was a horrible attempt at a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah said fail.
See you later, Gator. Get it? Because, like, you rode in a gator, and that's kind of like a golf cart.
This is me staring at him in disbelief that he would say something that dumb.
Okay. Florida man denies cocaine found in buttocks is his. Bradenton, Florida. When sheriff's deputies allegedly discovered bags of marijuana and cocaine between a man's buttocks, they said he gave a quick explanation. Manatee County deputy said Raymond Stanley Roberts told them, "The white stuff is not mine, but the weed is." Deputies stopped the 25-year-old Wednesday in Bradenton for speeding. Officers said they smelled marijuana and searched him. That's when they allegedly found a bag of marijuana between Robert's buttocks. Officers then discovered another bag in there. The report said that it contained 27 pieces of rock cocaine. The Bradenton Herald reported Roberts was arrested for drug possession and has bonded out of jail. The person who answered Friday at a phone number listed for Roberts says it wasn't his. It wasn't his drugs or it wasn't his phone. That phone isn't mine, man. Take it, Carrie.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
This has been News of the Stupid. And now I'm going to briefly stop.
Oh, yeah, now I remember what I was going to ask.
Should I stop recording so you can ask?
No.
Okay.
Did we get those stories from any helpful listeners, or did you just find those on the internet?
No, I found those on the site I go to when I have no other sources for weird stories. So if you have weird stories that you think should be on News of the Stupid, and yes, we will start doing it properly again, starting with the next episode, please send them to us. You can email them to us at badreport@gmail.com, and we'd be very, very happy to get more stories and stuff like that. So, this episode has already gone way, way too frickin' long, so I'll just very briefly talk about Archon. Archon was good. The weird thing about Archon this year was due to the whole kind of honeymoon aspect and wedding, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have any other official programming other than the concert I did on Sunday. I also didn't put up any flyers advertising me performing, and I didn't enter the costume contest as a means of promoting myself. So it was kind of an interesting experiment to see if I'd pull the same size crowd without doing the usual stuff I always do.
And did you?
Pretty much. I mean, it might have been slightly smaller at the beginning, but you know, by the end of the show, I had a pretty full room there. Plus, they're in a new location this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like the whole con.
The entire con was moved to a different location because the old place decided that it was taken over by new businesses that just didn't want the sci-fi riffraff people around. So they told them, like, "Oh, you're not allowed to throw room parties," you know, stuff like that.
Wow.
So they've completely moved the con over to this new place that is a bit weird and spread out because it's kind of two hotels and in an outdoor mall put together. And the con went pretty well. They still have some things they got to iron out, but I didn't have like a dealer table or a artist alley table or anything. So I basically had nothing officially to do until Sunday.
Yeah.
So I actually got to go to a con. Oh my god!
And you got to meet podcast listeners, Crazy St. Louis Fangirl and Crazy St. Louis Fanboy.
Yes, whose real names are Kate and Adam, and it was very awesome to see them and meet them and hang out with them, and also, they decided to dress up for the con on Saturday as Grease Wars.
Yeah.
I think they did it on Sunday as well, where basically they took the designs I did for the Grease Wars t-shirt of Princess Leia with the pink jacket that said Pink Leia's, and the Han Solo with the leather jacket with the M Falcons on the back, and they dressed up as that and came to the con, and it was, like, super awesome and cool and stuff, and we got some pictures.
Did people get it that don't know the song?
I think they said that they had to kind of explain it to a bunch of people, but that they all seemed intrigued, and then they told them, we'll come see his show on Sunday and blah, blah, blah. So thank you so much to you guys. Oh, they also got us a wedding gift. They got us a nifty clock that looks all melty and stuff. So
yeah, I saw it sitting out there.
Yeah.
For those of you that are Archon people, you know, like I said, if I can get Crazy St. Louis Fangirl to pull out the Shy Violet costume and get together a Rainbow Bright and the Color Kids cosplay group, then I'm totally there. But for me, part of the problem is its proximity to Con and the Cob makes me feel like I need to choose between them. And Con and the Cob usually wins with all of the extra super awesome comedy music and friends that show up there. But we'll see. Who knows?
There were several people throughout the weekend who were asking about you, how you were doing, and expressing a wish that you would, you know, show up at Archon or just generally appear at more conventions so that people can see you perform more often. So,
yes. But alas, life is such as it is.
So my show, I actually had planned out the show, you know, like a week or two in advance and packed up all my stuff so that I didn't have to worry about it as the wedding got closer. So I went to look at my list of what I was performing, and when I showed up there on Saturday, they had a video projection screen set up from events happening the night before that was still there. Okay. Sunday. That was still there from the nights from the day before. You know what I mean. So I went up and started messing around with it, and I managed to figure out that I could use that video projection system along with my Zen player, which is what I was going to run my music out of anyway. So I then switched up my set list so that it would be part audio and then part with video accompaniment, which was, you know, a real last minute decision to do, but it went pretty cool. So I got to, you know, show, you know, perform with the videos for Marvel Poppins and All You Can Tweet, Stealing Like a Hobbit, House Party at Arkham Asylum, Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues, and something else. And also before the show started, because we, you know, were set up so early, I showed the Bad Rapport video episode for the 10 minutes leading up to the beginning of the show.
Yay.
So people dug that.
Now that the wedding is over, that means we can do puppet things again, right?
Yes.
Yay!
and
Sarah.
And Sarah
God.
Scoffs quietly to herself.
I hate you guys. Kill you guys.
Oh, and I got something else I got to mention, because obviously Crazy St. Louis Fanboy and Fangirl were there, and you know we showed the video and stuff. And when it got near the end of the show, I had just kind of said off the cuff, you know, do I even have to mention that I have stuff for sale in the back at this point? And they're like, no, but do it anyway. And then somebody in the audience went, "What's Luke plugging now?" And then, so then I'm like, so that made me laugh. I'm like, let's all sing it together. And then I sang it, and they all, and a huge amount of people, like way more than I expected, all sang with me, "What's Luke plugging now?" And I got done. I'm like, wow, you all listen to the podcast? What's wrong with you? So that was a super
Some
cool
Some of them
moment.
May have just caught on quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but, so you're basically done talking about that?
Basically to say, yeah, the whole experiment of with no advertising, will I pull the same audience? Basically I did. It was maybe slightly smaller. I made slightly less money than I usually do, but it was still, you know, way totally worth it money-wise for me to have shown up and done a thing. And everyone at the con is really cool, and I want to try to, you know, obviously I want to continue going back there and performing. If they are willing to bring in more funny music people, I'd like to try to get more funny music people there, and, you know, obviously Carrie. So we'll...
Yeah, I'd be more likely to go if I was going to get my own concert.
What? You're just laughing at the way I said that? Okay.
More funny music people, and Carrie.
Well, now that you're done talking about your wedding and your honeymoon, I admit I wish we would have got this podcast started earlier in our lives so that I would have a podcast audio record of my wedding and honeymoon. Because I'd...
Well, you technically have a record of your honeymoon. You talked all about Hawaii in that one episode.
So I consider Niagara Falls trip to be our honeymoon. So it's like, you know, and now here I am. I'm spending like all my time during my lunch breaks at work, like writing about Hawaii. And so in a couple months from now, when that's done, I'll start trying to write about my wedding and my honeymoon, but my memory is bad, so there's going to be so many details that I'm going to miss. So,
and this,
you're
and this,
lucky
and this
that
may
you have,
have
this. This podcast is a good memento for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know this episode is like way longer than it should have been, and blah blah blah. But it'll be nice, you know, in many years from now to like listen to this again and be like, oh yeah, I forgot all about this and that and the other thing. So Archon was good, and now it's time for officially.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah.
What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump?
Who dat?
Available now for download at the Fump. You can get Spookier Than You by TV's Kyle, Zombie and Bee by Tom Smith, Electric Razor Blues by Power Salad, Ornery Handjob by Sea Monkey, very offensive and wonderful, Apple Feast by TV's Kyle, I Hate the Google Everything Sidebar by Jesse Smith. Cosplaying Fangirls by Insane Ian featuring the great Luke Ski. And Shall We Burn a Book for Jesus by Steve Goody. The free MP3 of the week at LukeSki.com is Keanu Barada Nikto.
Whoa.
And you're going to talk about this other stuff really quick.
Sure, yeah. LukeSki.com, it still exists. There are still things for sale there, like Greatest Hits Volume 1, 2 CD set, and What a Ripoff Volume 2. Go buy things. ArtByLukeSki.com. Hey, I'm looking for Halloween parties and Christmas parties, so book me to draw caricatures or and order individual caricatures.
What about Thanksgiving parties?
Thanksgiving parties
don't exist. As long as
they're
not on Thanksgiving.
Nobody has a Thanksgiving party that isn't Thanksgiving
well,
in and of
I'll
itself.
Maybe I'll have one, motherfucker.
Okay, fine.
Don't contradict me.
Are you going to hire me to draw caricatures?
No.
Then eat a dick. And you can see why Luke and Carrie didn't get married.
I have to admit, you've never told me that.
So, yeah. Anyway, the Dr. Demento show. Last week's episode, it was a Star Trek episode. He hasn't done one in about 3 years. I haven't even had a chance to listen to that one yet, but it's a full 2 hours of awesome Star Trek classic stuff. You should go listen to that episode. And coming up this Saturday is the 40th anniversary episode. It's 2.5 hours long. I was able to hear it in advance, and it is super epic. It's incredible. Please, please listen to it. And just as a added incentive, tying into this whole coincidental thing with Carrie gathering all those sound bites of various people wishing Sarah and I happiness for our wedding and such, at the same time, I was gathering messages from funny music people to send to Dr. Demento to congratulate him on his 40th anniversary. And having heard in advance the episode, he played all of them throughout the span of his entire show.
And can I just say, on the previous show, before the 40th anniversary show, I got my first ever song on the Dr. Demento Top 10 as far as a song that I wrote. Twitter tweeting made it on number 7.
Yeah, not the one that was 2 weeks, or not the Star Trek one, but the one before that. That was the September Top 10 episode. So, yes. So, congratulations for Carrie. Yay!
Thanks for all of you who requested Twitter tweeting, and you can still go to drdemento.com and request it. You know, who knows, maybe there's a chance it would get somewhere on the bottom of the Funny 25.
That would be very cool. So, yes, please go to drdemento.com, drdemento.com. Listen to his show and request songs by Carrie and others who sit next to Carrie on his show. Tour dates, Con of the Cob 2011. It's coming up soon. Cononthecob.com.
I will be there also.
Yes. Clarion Hotel and Conference Center in Akron, Ohio. Is that right? Or is it another city? It's something like that.
Shit.
Akron.
I'll get it by the time you're done talking. Hang on. Go ahead.
Okay. Performing there October 14th through 17th, 2010. Max DeGroot, Powered Salad. Rob Balder, Positive Attitude. Worm Quartet, Soggy Potato Chips. Carrie Dalby, 19 Action News, Nuclear Bubble Wrap. The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Derwood Bowen, Cirque du Soleil. And Music Guest of Honor, Norm Sherman of Drabblecast.
And that's happening in Hudson, Ohio at the Clarion Inn.
Hudson, Ohio, which is near Akron and Cleveland and stuff. I'll also be performing at WindyCon. It's a Sunday morning show at 11 a.m. Go to windycon.org for info on that, November 12th through 14th.
But since Con on the Cob is happening in less than 2 weeks, you can guess what we'll be talking about on episode 26.
Speaking of episode 26, we have to acknowledge that between this episode we're recording now and the next episode is the 1 year anniversary of Bad Rapport.
Oh.
Because it was recorded on October 13th and posted on the 14th was the first ever official episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Well, we'll make more of a note of that next time because it's closer. Wait, what's the date today?
Today is the, today is
October 5th.
This is the 5th. So,
I think technically the next episode is closer to the anniversary.
Yeah. So if any of you would like to leave comments saying like, hey, my favorite moment from the past year was such and such a thing, leave us comments to that effect and we can try to work in either playing a clip or just talking about it or revisiting it.
52 divided by 2 is
26.
So
that's math.
And we weren't on a perfect every other week schedule at all times, yet somehow we pulled off 26 episodes in just barely over a year.
And soon we'll know how magnets work, too. hey, Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
I'm wearing this pink that's kind of a perfect Carrie pink shirt from customizedgirl.com, and it says Bride 5309, and this is mostly just because it's like the only pink shirt that I had that I haven't worn here yet, and also because it's the big wedding episode. Hi, kitty cat.
So, we've wrapped up the What Shade of Pink is Carrie Wearing segment to start a new segment called What Shade of Pink Will Carrie Be Wearing in the Future? Because Carrie will soon be wearing an awesome New Orleans t-shirt!
Yay! Thank you. Whee!
And look at the back.
It says, you read it.
Les A's, Les Bonds, Temps, Rollure.
Okay.
Which means, then turn it around.
Let the good times roll. And it even has a whodad on there.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
So that was a souvenir for Carrie.
Did you get one for Josh?
No. Does Josh love New Orleans?
No.
Well, then, there you go.
He's never been there. He will when he goes.
I'll give Josh a Carrie t-shirt, because he loves you.
I'm supposed to discourage you from doing this, aren't I, Chewy?
Well, if you don't want to buy a shirt.
So there's that shirt for Carrie. Yay. And this brings us pretty much to the end of the show, so we want to remind people to make comments for the episodes at badreport.com, and your comments will be read on the show, just like we did at the beginning of the show, because that's where comments go, sometimes. So, badreport.com, BADRAPPORT.com.
And please call and leave voice messages.
At 916-585-3754. That's 916-LUKESKI. 916-585-3754. You can be just like Draconis.
Hit.
Yeah, we had to get at least one in there.
I didn't hit you hard enough.
Okay. iTunes reviews. We don't have any new ones, but that could change. You could do an iTunes review of us, and then we could read it on the air. Or you could go give us a star rating, hopefully five, because five is...
We're just that good.
Because I like $5 bills. So that's it. That's all I can think of. Anything else you want to add to the episode?
Toil.
Is there anything else you want to add to the episode, Sarah? you're my wife now.
Shit.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And she's my wife.
Shit.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hold fast to one another, because even if you may jokingly threaten to kill each other... Oh, you've heard that too?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.